First, analyze your situation calmly. Then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans. One is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News Update. I'm Hartley Carnes.
Now, I've never seen nothing like that.
13 people are known dead across Alabama, but that number has changed quickly, and recovery operations are still underway there.
You could see the tornado. It was sitting there like a top, and it was sitting there spinning, and it looked like it was just drilling into the ground.
Chris Hutz is a restaurant owner in Enterprise, Alabama. The high school there is a mess.
When they got out of school in one area of the parking lot, there was like over 100 cars. It was upside down.
That one tornado lasted for more than an hour. The dangerous weather is far from over. The Weather Service says a high risk of severe weather across the South will continue through the overnight. Federal charges now face Michael Devlin in St. Louis related to his kidnapping and abuse of two boys there. U.S. Attorney Catherine Hanaway.
This minor, over the course of 5 years, had child pornography produced with them as the victim, was taken across state lines.
Besides the federal charges, Devlin faces 75 state charges in the kidnapping of Sean Hornbeck and Ben Onvey. Republican John McCain, who just made it official he's running for president last night, also used one of those red flag words saying American lives had been wasted in Iraq. Today from McCain, what he meant to say...
I always say lives have been sacrificed, but the war has been mismanaged.
Criticism quick from the Democratic National Committee spokeswoman Karen Finney.
If he now believes that, why is he so stubbornly supporting President Bush's plan to escalate the war in Iraq and put more American lives in harm's way?
A couple of weeks ago, Democrat Barack Obama said the same thing and also quickly retracted his use of the word wasted. As Walter Reed Medical Center moves toward merger with Bethesda Medical Center, complaints about subpar treatment of wounded veterans have increased. And today, the medical center's general in charge, a two-star, lost his command.
I don't have very much patience with people who don't step up to the plate in terms of addressing problems that are under their responsibility.
Defense Secretary Robert Gates. The government isn't saying it doesn't work, only that 20 drug companies are illegally selling migraine medicines without federal approval. Michael Levy at the FDA says the drugs contain a vasoconstrictor, not good if mixed with other drugs.
We're talking about ischemia, which is a restriction in blood supply, which can include death and gangrene.
A new CBS News, New York Times poll on a major coming campaign issue. CBS News Deputy Survey Director Sarah Dutton.
9 out of 10 Americans think the U.S. healthcare system needs at least fundamental changes, and that includes 36% who think it needs a complete overhaul.
Most people, 77%, are happy with their own healthcare. They also say, by a similar number, the cost of healthcare generally is too high. On Wall Street, the Dow lost about 34 points today. The Nasdaq was off about 12. This is CBS News.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
OnStar Center, this is Sandy. How can I help you?
Can you check the service engine light?
Well, of course, I can take care of that for you.
OnStar can run a diagnostic check of your vehicle's key systems while you're driving.
When was the last time you put fuel in the Montana?
The day before yesterday.
What I'm showing is an emission system malfunction. What it means is that your fuel cap's not on tight enough.
Oh, well, wonderful.
Only GM offers so many vehicles with the peace of mind of OnStar.
All you're going to need to do is take it off and put it back on, and then the light will go off. That's all that's wrong.
Thank you. I'll do it right now.
Can I assist with anything else?
No, nope, that's fine.
Do remember that we're here to help you 24 hours a day. Thank you for using OnStar.
The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles and covers unlimited use of all safety and security services. To experience OnStar, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar by GM.
She had hiccups for more than 40 days and 40 nights, but who's counting?
After 5 weeks and 6 days, the hiccups have finally stopped. St. Petersburg teenager Jennifer Mee says it happened suddenly after hypnosis.
I had went to 4 different doctors, and my last doctor that I went and saw, which was my hypnotist, They stopped. After my second session, they stopped.
Her first reaction?
I was in tears.
And then relief.
I'm so relieved that I actually, first thing that popped in my mind yesterday, that I'm going back to school.
And she says she's looking forward to just doing the things that a 15-year-old would normally do. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Whenever there is disaster, there are criminals. FEMA has been going after hundreds of people who put out their hands for help but didn't need it after Katrina. Hundreds of millions lost. Now we hear there is an indictment against a man in Baltimore for bilking more than 900 investors, including some people along the Mississippi Gulf after Katrina. Prosecutors say he stole at least $8 million in his Ponzi scheme. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge. Stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on. You know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call this special toll-free number, 866-40-GO-NOW. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-40-GO-NOW for all the exciting details. That's 866-40-GO-NOW. Call now.
Peter B. Collins. Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage.
Whoa.
Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, live, unscripted, unrehearsed, and originating on the left coast of these United States.
As I was walking a ribbon of highway, I saw above me an endless skyway. I saw below me a golden valley. Yeah, this land was made for me. I won't be rambled.
We've got a lot to talk about and only 3 hours to do it, which means, once again, there will be no room today to talk about the disposition of Anna Nicole Smith's body or who's going to get the baby. And no time for Britney Spears updates either. I just have to say I'm sorry. But I was really stunned and sickened yesterday. I was listening to my local all-news radio station, and they joined the network for the one-minute update on the entire world situation at the bottom of the hour. And the entire minute was about Anna Nicole and the body. On today's program, Faz Shakir will kick us off in a moment, taking a look at the reasons why the Bush administration has been sacking U.S. attorneys across the nation. Dr. Glenn Beery will join us later this hour. He wants to ding Al Gore, the Oscars, and those Hollywood greenies. We're also going to talk about the groundswell of support for Al Gore, despite his protests that he doesn't want to be a candidate for 2008. The latest to weigh in, David Remnick in The New Yorker. Dean Baker is co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research. He said that the stock market correction we're experiencing this week is not good for average Americans. We'll find out why. And Winslow T. Wheeler, he served for 30 years on Capitol Hill, used to be called the General Accounting Office. And he's now a senior fellow at the Strauss Military Reform Project Center of Defense Information. We're going to talk with him about Iran and also about the battle over cutting off funding for the war in Iraq. There was a skirmish today at the Kent Conrad Committee in the Senate where he chairs. I think that's Armed Services or something close to that. And Conrad, to his credit, wanted to cut $20 billion from a defense appropriation bill. And it was Democrats who killed it. They seem to be really timid about taking that step. Lots to talk about, and as you know, our toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. You're welcome to join this conversation whenever the urge strikes you. Faz Shakir is our guy at the Center for American Progress. He's their director of research and co-editor of the Daily Progress Report, which I get by email, and you can too. Just log on to progressreport.org. Hello, Faz.
Hey, good afternoon, Peter.
How are things in D.C. these days?
Warming up a little bit.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
You had a bad run of weather there.
Yeah, we did. And this whole Libby trial has been hanging over our heads. I don't know what's going on with this jury. They seem to be a runaway jury.
Well, you know, we've been talking about that here in the office. There's a trial lawyer in the building down the hall, and every day now he sees me and he says, why is that jury still in and deliberating? And I can't quite answer it. One person suggested that there are too many PhDs on the jury.
You know, and I kind of wonder whether they just have partisan people on there, because, you know, of course, D.C. is a very political town. People who work in whatever field that they work in D.C. tend to know a lot about politics. So it's possible there's some hidden, covert, you know, politicos on there who are shaking things up.
Well, and some wags thought that Dick Cheney left the country on his whirlwind national or international tour over the past week so that he'd be out of town when the verdict came in. And he even hunkered down at Bagram, and the Taliban welcome wagon showed up.
Okay, he didn't wait long enough, I guess. Yeah. Even fooled Dick Cheney.
Yeah, I guess not. Well, Faz, I am delighted by the coverage in the Progress Report today, because Matt, the producer, Matt Renner, and I have been talking about this building story about the U.S. attorneys, all Republican appointees who have been quietly or not so quietly fired from their positions. And Gonzalez has told Senator Feinstein and others on the Judiciary Committee that he won't explain why. These are personnel decisions that he wants to keep under wraps. And let's go through the key claims that you identify and then refute in the Progress Report today. We now have, is it a total of 8 U.S. attorneys, or have more been fired?
As far as we know, there's still 8.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And one of the claims offered by Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty is that these people were fired for performance-related reasons. So they were not doing their jobs. Now, that doesn't seem to apply to Carol Lamb in San Diego. Despite being a Republican, she successfully put Duke Cunningham behind bars.
That's right. That's right. And she's not the only one. We talked through a couple of the other prosecutors who were fired and looked at their job evaluations. For instance, a guy named John McKay, who's a former U.S. attorney in Washington. He said that in his performance evaluation, there was nothing that was raised about his performance issues or management or anything else. And then there was another U.S. attorney from Nevada. His name is Daniel Bogden. He said that he was described as a capable leader who was highly regarded by the federal judiciary and investigators. So this claim that they were bad at their jobs hasn't held any water when you look at, you know, their particular job evaluations.
Now, most of them have held their counsel, so to speak, but in the New York Times today, David C. Iglesias went public, and he's not singing a happy song. He was the U.S. attorney in New Mexico, and he thinks he was ousted because he resisted pressure before last fall's midterm elections to bring corruption charges against a Democrat in New Mexico.
Yeah, this is a pretty interesting story that, as you say, he was ousted for these political reasons. But then when you go back and look at what they said about him and his job performance, they concluded that he had a strategic plan that complied with the department's priorities. And so one of these myths that we've been hearing is that, well, these guys weren't team players. You know, they were rogue operators who were going to do their own thing. And yet in their evaluations, they were highly regarded. They were people who were viewed as following department regulations, department priorities. But as more and more evidence builds, the thing that they were doing that was upsetting a lot of people was these political investigations that either hurt Republicans or helped Democrats.
Next item here on the list is there's no cover-up. Now, there are people, including Senator Feinstein, who are very concerned that this could be an effort to sink some cases that Gonzalez or other top Republicans would rather see go away. For example, in the San Diego case of Carol Lamb, she was just tuning up to expand the investigation into the people who actually bribed Duke Cunningham, which is the follow-up that many of us have been waiting for. So is there any sense sense on the part of the critics of these moves that this is an effort to control specific prosecutions.
Oh, there, it's absolutely the case. If you look at these further, there's a guy named Bogdan, again, who was looking into campaign law violations by one member of the state's congressional delegation who happened to be Republican. And then there was a Cummins, another one of the other federal prosecutors was investigating Missouri Governor Matt Blunt.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you look at a few of the others, Kevin Ryan was not pursuing public corruption, but he was looking at these high-profile investigations of backdated stock options, which, of course, were going after people who were major contributors to Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
So the more you dig at this, the more I think clearly it stood out to us that these were politically motivated retributions against there were prosecutors who had good records who the administration just didn't view favorably.
Well, as far as I know, and I've never asked Dianne Feinstein about this specifically, but I believe she doesn't support backdating of options, but she also didn't support the expensing of these stock options so that they were basically just given to executives and taken away from the rest of the shareholders without any reporting or transparency. And it's almost gospel here in California. Democrats and Republicans all support the wide use of options and oppose the reporting requirements, which I find, it's something I just don't agree with, Faz. I think those options need to be reported because as a shareholder, my holdings are being diluted when they give those gifts to the top executives.
Yeah, it's basically a corporate giveaway, and the Wall Street Journal has done a lot of great reporting on this, showing that, you know, over the past few years that this practice has been going on a lot on a larger scale than any of us knew, and that this was one of the main kind of giveaways to CEOs when they sign contracts with these companies, that they are given these backdated options, and which is presented as a win-win for them. If the stock goes up, they got the money. If it goes down, they don't have to lose anything.
Well, and one of the high-profile cases involves Steve Jobs at Apple Computer, Mr. iPod himself. Al Gore sits on the board of Apple Computer and actually was one of the board members who conducted an investigation declaring that everything was okay. So it's pretty interesting the way all that works. And, of course, Faz, I'm just spouting off because nobody gave me any free stock options.
The more people look at these corporate boards, they are such crony operations where, you know, they get to pick the members on these boards who then, you know, pick them to sit on their boards. It's a whole back-scratching operation. They come in and kind of wipe clean the record and whitewash the records, whitewash the investigations that are done of a certain CEO, and then
mm-hmm.
that CEO is then chosen to sit on the board of the people who he was investigating. It's really an amazing system.
Well, and I'm going to keep decrying it until they actually break down and put me on a corporate board and send a Gulfstream. We're going to take a break and talk more about the way the Bush administration is cleaning house at the U.S. attorney level. And if you have a question or comment for Faz Shakir, join us now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. 17 minutes after the hour on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Rock Roller Real Estate, the number one Sunday morning real estate show. This week, we'll be talking about a great market, Palm Springs and the surrounding areas, Indian Wells, La Quinta, Palm Desert, and Indio. That's this Sunday morning at 10. For more information on Rock Roller Real Estate, log on to our website at www.rockrollandrealestate.com or call us at 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Post Graduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Are you an attorney with Republican ties? Would you like to be made the head of a U.S. attorney's office in a great American city? Contact K. Rowe, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and copy A. Gonzalez over there at the Department of Justice. We continue now with Faz Shakir. We're talking about today's Progress Report. You can get your own copy at progressreport.org. And Faz, one of the other claims that's been made about this shuffle of U.S. attorneys is that it's not political. You quote Alberto Gonzalez, "I would never, ever make a change in the U.S. attorney position for political reasons." Now, why is that so hard to believe?
He's one of the best attorney generals we've ever had, right?
Uh-huh.
Maybe I need that email address so I can send over my own resume.
Yeah, you're a law school graduate.
A. Gonzalez and K. Rove, is that right?
Right, those are the two people who will be vetting the replacements. After all, one of the people proposed for one of the offices is a guy out of Karl Rove's office who apparently has no experience as a prosecutor.
No, that's right. This guy's name is Tim Griffin, and I happen to know Tim Griffin because I don't actually personally know him, but I was on the other side of him. He was the former research director of the RNC,
and
I worked at the DNC at the time, and so Griffin was well known, pretty famous in the research world as a very ruthless kind of operator,
mm-hmm.
and he developed really close ties with the Drudge Report, and that was a key part of their operation. He would often fly down to Miami to meet with Drudge and have these nice elaborate dinners and talk about their strategy and research plan. And, of course, they would feed them. He would help feed that research into Drudge and the Washington Times and all of his big right-wing network. And, and I think largely, you know, the SWFPA veterans and all those things that we saw on the Drudge Report during the 2004 cycle, I think those were coming from Tim Griffin. But anyways, he was, I think, you know, those things that he has done in the past don't qualify him to now sit as a federal prosecutor on the court in Arkansas, and yet that's what the administration tried to do with him.
Yeah. All right, claim number five, it wasn't done to avoid congressional oversight, and this is a suspicion raised by an element in the Patriot Act that nobody read at the time, and I guess a few people have caught up on sleepless nights. But it permits the Attorney General to appoint a replacement U.S. attorney without Senate confirmation
for an indefinite period of time. Yeah, that was what that was put into the Patriot Act very silently. A lot of people didn't pay attention to it, and the Senate Judiciary Committee, now of course chaired by Senator Patrick Leahy, passed a provision that would replace that and would say that an appointment or a replacement can be made for 120 days if that replacement is not named. Or if the time's out after 120 days, then the district court would step in and appoint the interim U.S. attorney. And so I think that's the right way to go. Unfortunately, it got out of the Senate Judiciary Committee, but then it's now being stonewalled by the conservatives in the Senate.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And when you look at this picture overall, why should we care? And I'm saying we as non-Republicans. This is kind of an internal shuffle, and they're paying off some political favors. They might put some hacks in charge of a U.S. attorney office, but it shouldn't last longer than January 20th of 2009. And one former U.S. attorney who we've talked to, Elizabeth De La Vega, who was on the staff in San Jose, said, you know, she's not very interested in this. She thinks it's just politics, and this kind of thing goes on all the time.
You know, this is part of the long-standing effort by conservatives to alter the ideology of the court and to instill their right-wing agenda on the court. This has been something that's been going on for 30, 40 years now, right? It started in the 70s, continues on to this day. Karl Rove has, of course, pushed for a lot of federal judiciary appointments that are along the, or that are very conservative appointments. The Senate Democrats were able to step up and challenge a few of those in the last term, but for the most part, they've been able to remake a lot of the court, and now they're trying to remake the prosecution side of it. And I thought what was interesting, there was an interesting quote, Senator John Ensign said that he was told that the replacement in Nevada of the federal prosecutor was part of an effort to, quote, build up the backbench of Republicans by giving them high-profile jobs.
I see.
I couldn't say it any clearer. That's exactly what it is.
So this is the farm team. This is the AAA.
That's right. I mean, if you look at how some of the prominent senators have got to where they have, I think John Cornyn was a judge in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Senator John Cornyn. Of course, Alberto Gonzalez was Bush's personal lawyer. But they have a lot of these appointments who make their way up first by going into the judiciary and getting some experience enacting their right-wing agenda.
Have you done a little search to see if all these new appointees are members of the Federalist Society?
You know, we tried to look into that, but the Federalist Society is very close about its membership, and so unless it's been reported by the media, which it hasn't been, a lot of these people are relatively obscure. You know, they haven't had huge amounts of experience. There's not much known about these guys.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Faz, just a minute remaining, and one other item in the progress report today is that the White House is threatening to veto the counterterrorism bill over the language that permits unionization of TSA workers, the folks at the airport.
Replay of 2002, right? This is, of course, what eventually ousted Max Cleland from his job because he stood up so valiantly to this effort, and then he was painted as somebody who was an ally of bin Laden. So I think, you know, Mitch McConnell said the other day that, hey, I just want to remind everybody that this is what cost the Democrats in 2002, so it looks like they want to play the same games again.
Yeah, but Al-Qaeda is not an affiliate of the AFL-CIO.
Well, don't tell the Republicans that. They think they won on that issue in 2002. They're going to try to politicize it again.
Just amazing. Thank you, Faz. Great work.
Okay, thank you.
Faz Shakir at the Center for American Progress. Get that progress report at progressreport.org. Coming up next, we look back at Sunday's Oscars, where Al Gore was basking in the spotlight. How much carbon was required for that spotlight? We're going to talk to Dr. Glenn Barry next.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
For over 30 years, I have been helping people restore their skin's natural beauty. This is Claudie Assalit of Claudie Skincare Studio in Carmel. I bring a certain je ne sais quoi as well as 3 decades of experience in top spas and salons. Claudie Skincare Studio features a selection of the finest products, and I am always training to stay at the cutting edge of skincare technology. At Claudie Skincare Studio, we specialize in healing facials, peels, Reiki, waxing, lash tinting, as well as nutritional advice to ensure your skin vibrancy and good health. To set up an appointment, call me Claudie Assalit at 625-4101. That is 625-4101. Smooth, soft, beautiful skin can be yours. Call 625-4101. A bientôt.
Remember the time you almost volunteered to work in a soup kitchen? Or when you almost visited the Veterans Hospital? Or when you almost brought dinner to your neighbor with AIDS? Remember all the times you almost helped, almost gave? Well, it's only human, this almost giving. But the truth is, it's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give, give. Visit our website at don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
The Billy Sunshine Show.
Billy Sunshine Show.
With Pilar. With Pilar.
Sunday at 3 o'clock, we're going to be doing something new, something different. Or we'll do the same old thing, take your phone calls. One thing we know for sure, I'll have something to say. What? I don't know. I never know until I've said it. Find out what's the next thing to come out of my mouth.
The Billy Sunshine Show with Pilar.
Sundays from 3 to 5. 3 to 5.
On AM 540. KRXA.
One-Day Income Tax Service, family-owned and operated since 1944, specializes in year-round professional tax preparation. Do you want your refund quickly? Stop by One-Day Income Tax Service. They offer tax preparation at reasonable rates and work to meet the needs of military families with the capacity to process all out-of-state returns. If you prefer to prepare your own return at home, they can help you expedite your refund by filing your return electronically. Let One-Day Income Tax Service assist you with your return and maximize your refund. Stop by 885 Broadway Avenue in Seaside, where no appointment is necessary. Looking for quick, professional, and reasonable tax return preparation? Visit One-Day Income Tax Service, 885 Broadway Avenue, Seaside, or call 394-8010. That's 831-394-8010. One-Day Income Tax Service, where you walk in with a copy of your most recent tax return, personal ID, and W-2 1099 info for 2006, and you walk out with your completed tax return.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Well, there's a little something that's been freaking me. Read it in the news, I seen it on TV. It haunts me in the night and creeps me in the morning. a spooky little thing called global warming. It seems our indispensable amenities, like hairspray, air conditioners, and SUVs, are causing big emissions, all of which are forming a spooky little thing called global warming. Fluorofluorocarbons strip away ozone. They can't seem to leave the rainforest alone. Our temperatures are rising and it now deduced. The vampires of progress have come under rules.
But the Oscar goes to Al Gore for An Inconvenient Truth. We're going to talk about climate change and the Hollywood approach to it this half hour. Dr. Glenn Barry returns to our program. He is the host of the website ClimateArk, A-R-K, ClimateArk.com, and he blogs at earthmeanders.blogspot.com. Glenn Barry, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be with you, Peter.
Nice to talk with you again. So did you enjoy the Oscars the other night, sipping a little champagne, watching the big screen, and seeing the man who was elected president in 2000 accept the Oscar statuette?
Absolutely. I was very pleased for him. It really represents just how far we've come in the past year as far as awareness on this critical global issue of climate change, or global heating, as I sometimes call it. But as you're aware, I have recently written a piece where I am a bit concerned with the extent to which celebrities have become spokespersons on the issue, and that they are not promoting solutions that are truly sufficient to solve the problem at hand.
Mm-hmm. So should every Hollywood celebrity who supports Al Gore sell their mega mansions and unload their Hummers and adopt a lifestyle that's consistent with that message? Or is it enough for them just to publicly support him and then privately, you know, fly their jets around and burn up fuel and, you know, produce carbon?
Well, I'm sure that within their own reasoning, they feel they're perfectly justified. They're doing something called carbon offsets, which means for their private jets and for their multiple mansions, they're calculating their energy use, and then they're making a payment that helps plant trees or helps a developing country install renewable energy systems. All very, very good and worthwhile work. But ultimately, at the end of the day, we need to all be reducing emissions. Now, there's been this controversy, and it was really kind of probably a right-wing smear against Al Gore immediately the day after the Oscar, where...
Yeah, the Republican dumpster divers got his utility records and...
Yes, they did.
...tried to embarrass him with them.
And they tried to embarrass him with them, and frankly, there's nothing untruthful about with what they stated. They found that, you know, on average, his utility bills for just one of his homes in Nashville is 20 times the average Tennessean. Something like $30,000 a year in utility bills. And, you know, his response is that he's offsetting that carbon. But there are many people that question whether offsetting carbon is really just a way for the rich to continue emitting at the expense of the poor and putting off the hard sacrifices that are going to have to be made personally and societally to address a global emergency of a disintegrating atmosphere.
But let me push back a little bit on this, Glenn Barry, because I happen to be overweight. And I can acknowledge that obesity, and there are many people who are morbidly obese, you know, far much overweight than I am, more overweight. But I can, you know, intellectually accept that I ought to lose weight and that we all should be closer, you know, to our ideal body weights. But that doesn't mean that I can't comment on the fast food nation and the diets that lead our kids to obesity at an early age, the growth of childhood diabetes and other factors. So can't we go too far with this kind of political correctness where we are demanding that in order for someone to speak credibly about a subject, they first have to, sell off the family home and only drive a hybrid and never fly in a private jet? I just feel that we could go too far in this kind of micro-examination or micro-management of the lives of people who take strong positions on these issues.
Good point. However, you're not a global spokesperson asking other people to make changes in their lives.
And I will never, I want to make this pledge right now, I will never star in a documentary that's based on a PowerPoint.
Good call.
I will not do that.
Here was my concern. This last week, Al Gore is in frenetic mode right now. He was with Branson, the chief of Virgin Airlines, mm-hmm. announcing a project for someone to come up with a machine that could remove carbon dioxide from the atmosphere and bury it. An engineering approach to carbon change. So mm-hmm. we don't have to reduce our Hollywood-sized lifestyles because we can just suck the stuff out of the air and bury it. There's no need to make any sacrifice. You know, we can go on living this hyper-consumptive lifestyle. And in the same week, he announced with Cameron Diaz, who apparently has multiple mansions, and Leonardo DiCaprio, who certainly has a just-setting lifestyle, that there's going to be these seven concerts and Earth Aid mm-hmm. on 7707.
Right.
And I do have an issue with the face of the climate change global ecological sustainability movement.
Yeah, but if they were all
that are extremely wealthy that are not doing any of the measures that need to be done.
But if they were all monks with a vow of poverty and, you know, the only carbon emission is the hot water heater at the monastery, I just feel this can go too far, Glenn.
Well, I you're welcome to feel as you wish. I very carefully laid out in my recent essay the five types of policy issues that we need to sufficiently address climate change, that we need to be working on population controls to reduce the population, that we need to be reducing the consumption inequities where, Americans, 4% of the world's population, use 25% of the energy, and a series of other things, including almost all of the carbon that's been put into the air, or the majority since the Industrial Revolution, has been from the coal industry. And we keep on hearing about clean coal, clean coal, clean coal. That's many years down the line. And meanwhile, China and America are building hundreds and hundreds of new coal plants. So it was kind of a dual appraisal of we have these people that really don't seem to think that giving up any sort of personal luxuries is part of the problem, that a billion people living on a dollar a day, well, they have their three mansions, and yet they're telling those people over there to cut their emissions. That's one aspect. And the other aspect is that they're not really engaging the depth of the issue in proposing solutions that are actually going to be adequate to keep the carbon levels within a livable limit. So you have, Cameron Diaz. I'm sure she's a lovely woman. She does a lot of work. She has a TV show about traveling to exotic places.
I'd love to have her come over here and just examine my carbon footprint up close and personal.
Exactly. is that the best? And she's a celebrity, and so mm-hmm. she gets the press, she gets the coverage, she's the person that's making the announcement for these global concerts, but they're not proposing sufficient solutions, either what people need to do personally, and they're not laying out an aggressive strategy of what will truly be sufficient to solve the problem.
We're talking with Dr. Glenn Barry here on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I want to get your take. Is Al Gore insufficiently committed to the cause that he publicly espouses? And are some of these movie stars, I don't know exactly where John Travolta is on climate change issues, but I know he flies his own 727. And that's a huge contributor. Those jets do put a lot of effluent and carbon emissions into higher portions of our atmosphere. Scientifically, I don't know if that is more damaging than just puttering around in a car on the ground. Glenn, is it?
It appears to be. There seems to be releasing the emissions up
in the higher levels of the atmosphere is more problematic than mm-hmm. at ground level.
All right, so give us a call. Let us know what you think. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. 888-573-8372 puts you through. And you can find the article, the commentary that we're talking about, at earthmeanders.blogspot.com. And there you'll find a picture of Glenn Berry hugging a tree. He is the president and founder of Ecological Internet, and he's a conservation biologist, a political ecologist, a writer of essays and blogs. Now, if we sent the dumpster divers to examine your utility records, would you be able to proudly proclaim your reduction in contributions to the elements that contribute to climate change?
I believe so. It would certainly be on order of 3 to 4% of what we're talking about in the case with Mr. Gore. And again, the point isn't the precise amount of money Al Gore spends on his three houses.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fact that clearly a part of a global solution to climate change is going to be Americans voluntarily simplifying their life, consuming less, of energy products, of just about everything. And when you have Hollywood stars that are, you know, on Oscars night being as excessive as you can be in America, you're really not sending that message very well.
But didn't
I have a 140-year-old log cabin on 7 acres that I mostly heat with wood, and I have very tiny utility bills.
And where are your other houses?
Oh, well, I aspire to that.
No McMansion yet, eh?
No.
Okay. I would offer that whatever their personal practices are, whatever their utility bills are, and however many trips they make in a Gulfstream or other private jet, that these celebrities who have gone public, supported Al Gore, and on their own made efforts to increase awareness of the issues, I think that's an important contribution in and of itself, and they deserve some carbon emission credits just for that. Because we have an administration and, as you know, a whole lobby funded by ExxonMobil and others that is designed to sow doubt about the real issues of climate change and to slow down our response to that at the behest of corporate America. So the extent to which Al Gore and these others and the 7707 concert can help galvanize the American people, get us out of our lethargy, and change the tone of the debate in Washington, I think that's a substantial contribution, Glenn.
Absolutely, and I agree with you. My problem is that the message is not being made of personal and societal sacrifice that is going to have to be made to get our emissions down to a level that will be sustainable. We're talking about cutting our emissions by 80%
mm-hmm.
by the year 2050. And
well, then maybe we need to get you.
And if you send the message that all it takes is changing some light bulbs and then we're going to be okay, or if everyone had a hybrid, then we'd be fine. That's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
We need to, you know, be more fundamentally examining: can the world have personal automobiles for every Chinese, every Indian, and every American? Can people have houses that are several thousand square feet? Can that physically be provided by the Earth for 7 billion people?
Mm-hmm.
And by taking this very hot issue, pun intended, and simplifying it, I think that as much of a disservice could be done to finding true solutions by raising awareness that just isn't realistic.
All right, we're going to take a break and return with Dr. Glenn Berry. I think we got to get him a reality TV show, make him a big star, a celebrity, and then he can set that example that we're all looking for. What's the dog's name?
That's Daisy, and apparently she just heard something outside.
Oh, that's Homeland Security. Go check it out. We'll continue in just a moment with Dr. Glenn Berry. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Carmo Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid Carmo Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Carmo Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid Carmo Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmo Shell at Rio Road and Mid Carmo Valley Valero. Putting the service back in service stations. People are talking about the show. Weekday mornings 9 to 10 on KRXA 540. Does it really suck less?
You guys are, in many ways, so self-referential that it doesn't let a guy like me feel like he can be part of the conversation.
We try not to be too self-referential, and we'll try to catch ourselves. I appreciate your call.
I wish I knew what that meant.
I wish I knew what that meant. Okay. But you're sucking less than you used to.
Down in Monterey.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
The story is true. Dragnet. Dragnet.
You got a lot of repressed feelings, don't you, Friday? Don't you, Friday?
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're going through Al Gore's garbage. Checking out his utility bill. And trying to find out if he is sufficiently politically correct to front the effort to raise awareness and fix the contributions we're making to global warming. We're talking with Dr. Glenn Berry. One of his websites is earthmeanders.blogspot.com. And that's where he's posted this essay, which is critical of the Hollywood greenies for posing, but not necessarily walking the walk that they talk. And we're joined on the phone by, it's Rich from Scotch Plains, New Jersey. Welcome, Rich. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Hello, Dr. Berry.
Hello, Peter.
Peter, first of all, I want to say I'm saddened by your leaving KPHX, and I will be listening to you online.
Well, I appreciate that. And go to peterbcollins.com. We're working to expand our streaming capabilities, so that's where you can find us starting on Monday.
Thank you very much. Now, Dr. Berry, I have a real problem with the way you, as an energy expert, have mischaracterized in the case of President Gore, I'll call him, because to me he is the president, the real
Absolutely.
President. How President Gore, his electric bill is inflated, and you're doing the job, I think, of the right wing by mischaracterizing how carbon offsets work, that he actually has to pay to subsidize clean renewable sources through solar, wind power, and methane gas production off the grid. Okay, and that's why his electric bill is so much inflated. And the right wing has failed to mention that part of the story. And I think you do a real disservice by leaving that out of the equation, too, that the part of the reason why President Gore's electric bill is so inflated is that by him buying carbon offsets to become carbon neutral, he has three or four times inflated his electric bill. What do you say to that, Doctor?
I'm confusing two issues here. He's buying green electricity, which means he's paying a premium to his utility. Apparently, until like a year ago, he wasn't even doing that. That's something that quite a few people do, and that adds maybe 5% to your utility bill. The carbon offset payments then are through private ventures, where because of your carbon guilt, you make payments for aviation flights or for whatever carbon you're emitting, and then these third parties go out. And so his electricity bill is not three times as high as it would be because of his offsets. His electricity bill is
paying carbon
huge because
offsets,
he has
doctor.
A very big mansion.
Rich. How much do you think he's paying in carbon offsets out of that total electric bill he's paying?
The offsets are not part of the electrical bill.
But they go to subsidize the renewable sources being developed that he gets no direct benefit from, that benefits society as a whole. You're leaving that part of the equation out, Doctor.
Well, as I explained, he does buy green electricity, which has a slight price premium, but he's setting an example that rich Americans can continue to have two, three, four houses, drive SUVs, fly whenever they want, as long as they then pay money to do so. So
but
the
doctor,
rich,
there's a lot
the
of middle class people
included,
that are buying
and the poor can just
hold on, Rich.
Do the emission cutting.
Now your turn, Rich. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Doctor, you're making it sound like the only people that are buying carbon offsets are the wealthy, and that's simply not true. There are a lot of middle-class people that are buying these carbon offsets as well. And for you to say that it's only, not all of us can afford to be recluses living on a farm or a little cabin like you. A lot of us have to live within cities.
Wait. Let's not start to cast aspersions on his lifestyle.
He's making it sound like
Rich, you make it sound like he's the Unabomber, okay? I'm not going to go there. Now to Daniel in Santa Cruz. Hello, Daniel. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Dr. Glenn Barry.
That's great. I was wondering, you're coming in loud and clear in Monterey, but do you think that you're getting kicked up into the evening hours because you're too socialist for those folks? Anyway, that's another question.
I don't know.
Talking about renewable energy and the energy crisis, I have a tough time resolving my overconsumption because I was trained to be a Uber consumer by the media, corporate media, and whatnot. But
you're a victim, I can tell.
My question is, or actually my comment is, that I think Al Gore and the celebrities are doing far more good for the environment by publicly speaking towards saving the environment than they are with their minuscule consumption. So that's my comment.
All right, Daniel. Thanks for that thought. I want to turn to one other thing, Dr. Barry, before we run out of time. The deal that was announced last week, the buyout of the utility TXU, which had planned to build 11 coal-fired dirty power plants in the country, and they made a deal with environmentalists as part of this buyout that they're only going to build three. Do you view that as a victory, or did the environmentalists kind of get used because it appeared that TXU was going to roll back its construction plans anyway?
Well, I think that it is a victory. I think that it represents a more substantive victory than some star talking about doing things when they're not doing them themselves. It is an example of, in this case, Wall Street rather than Hollywood being aware that climate change is a huge issue and that they are going to need to be cutting back on coal plants. I think that it's very likely that those other three will not be built as well. And I think it sets an important precedent. These are the types of issues, the burning of coal, the logging of our last ancient forests, how many children we have. These are the things that we don't hear from Leonardo and Al that much. They're talking about light bulbs and biofuels, which have their own problems. So I see this as a substantive move on a substantive issue rather than just sort of a candy to make us all feel good like we're doing something so that we can continue our supersized lifestyle.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for joining us. Always a pleasure to talk with you, and I think you gave people something to think about today.
All righty.
Dr. Glenn Barry, find his website, climatearc.com, and his blog at earthmeanders.blogspot.com. Coming up next, Dean Baker is going to join us, co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research. We'll talk about the stock market roller coaster and what it means to working families in this country. Also next hour, former Capitol Hill staffer Winslow T. Wheeler joins us to talk about Iran. It's all ahead on the Peter B. Collins Show, produced by Matt Renner in San Francisco.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Rapp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Hello, everybody. This is R.J. Moyer. Join me Sunday nights from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. for Sports Phone KRXA. Now all of us Monday morning quarterbacks can get together Sunday nights and talk about football, baseball, basketball, tennis, golf, hockey, softball, volleyball, kickball, bocce ball, bowling, rugby, lacrosse. Well, maybe we won't talk about rugby and lacrosse, but join me anyway for Sports Phone KRXA, Sunday nights from 6 p.m. until 7 p.m.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Deadly tornadoes hit Alabama.
Young people walking around, blood on the clothes, flesh wounds, head wounds.
Walter Reed's top general is out.
I think the commanders have to be held accountable.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Chris Hutz owns a restaurant in Enterprise, Alabama.
You could see the tornado. It was sitting there like a top, and it was sitting there spinning, and it looked like it was just drilling into the ground.
The twister ripped through a high school campus, killing eight people who were trapped when a roof collapsed. We spoke with newspaper reporter Tim Greathouse of the Enterprise Ledger.
It's a war zone. Just multiple stacks, cars stacked upon top of one another, windows blown out, roofs missing off of schools, the walls falling, several walls caving in. Just a lot of emotions running high right now.
In another Alabama town, Miller's Ferry officials say five people died when a tornado smashed a group of mobile homes. This severe weather is part of the same storm system that's brought heavy snow, even blizzard conditions, to the plains and upper Midwest. Snowblowers are out in North Dakota, where two people died when their car overturned on a slippery road. It got so bad in western Minnesota that plows were pulled off the roads.
I'm Peter Mayer in New Orleans. As those tornadoes racked Alabama, President Bush visited the Katrina disaster zone, marking 18 months since the devastating storm. He knows people here are frustrated with the slow delivery of $110 billion in federal disaster aid.
Now the question is, are we going to be able to spend it wisely? Can we get it done? Can we get it to the people that need help?
Recorded Dixieland music heralded the president's arrival at a New Orleans school, but more than half of the city's classrooms remain closed, many frozen in time since the days of disaster. Peter Mayer, CBS News, with the president in New Orleans.
Now this.
Okay, 17-inch aluminum wheels, all-new Chrysler Sebring Touring, standard. Toyota Camry LE, not available. Honda Accord LX, not available. Yes, essential stain-resistant fabric, Sebring, standard. Other guys, not available. There's got to be something, huh? Steering wheel, Sebring, standard. Toyota and Honda, standard.
The all-new Chrysler Sebring, completely redesigned inside and out, with many exclusive features. As described, $21,110. MSRP excludes tax.
And now for the bonus round. What's the inverse of January 12th?
September 22nd, 9 p.m. Eastern.
Correct. What's next in this sequence? Sequoia? Hummingbird?
Pantalones.
Correct. How many movies has Netflix delivered so far?
Over 1 billion.
Correct. Netflix. Over 1 billion movies delivered so far. Zero late fees. Choose movies online and get DVDs delivered to your door in about one business day. Start your free trial. Plans now from only $4.99 a month. Netflix. It's that easy.
Defense Secretary Robert Gates promised swift and direct corrective action after the Washington Post exposed shoddy treatment of soldiers at Walter Reed Army Medical Center. Today, the man in charge, Major General George Waitman, was relieved of command.
I've made clear all along that if there was a problem, that it wasn't that action wasn't going to be limited to junior officers and NCOs and enlisted. I think the commanders have to be held accountable.
The wars in Afghanistan and Iraq have taken a heavy toll on the National Guard and military reserves.
They're probably not as well equipped and well prepared as they need to be for the missions they faced, and that's inexcusable that our government would put them in that situation.
Retired Marine General Arnold Prunero leads a commission that studied the situation. Its report rates nearly 90% of units in the United States not ready because they're short of equipment. Not clear if there's a link, but we learned today that hours after Vice President Cheney's surprise visit to Pakistan, Pakistani security forces captured a man described as the number three leader of the Taliban. It's the first time a senior Taliban leader has been arrested in Pakistan since that group was driven from Afghanistan 6 years ago. When Cheney visited Australia, Prime Minister John Howard pushed for action in the case of David Hicks, an Australian charged with aiding the Taliban who's been held at Guantanamo Bay. Today, the Bush administration filed charges against Hicks, making him the first detainee to be charged under the new law governing trial by military commission.
They got to start somewhere, and this was one of the first people that were charged under the old system, so they've got plenty of evidence and lots of knowledge about this particular case.
Retired Judge Advocate General John Oldenburg used to be in charge of the Guantanamo military commissions. After John McCain made his announcement on Letterman, Democrats pounced on his statement that American lives had been wasted in Iraq. Now the Republican senator says he meant sacrificed.
Of course, these young people have sacrificed. They've made the ultimate sacrifice, and I corrected that statement today.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
OnStar Center, this is Sandy. How can I help you?
Can you check a service engine light?
Well, of course, I can take care of that for you.
OnStar can run a diagnostic check of your vehicle's key systems while you're driving.
When was the last time you put fuel in the Montana?
The day before yesterday.
What I'm showing is an emission system malfunction. What it means is that your fuel cap's not on tight enough.
Oh, well, wonderful.
Only GM offers so many vehicles with the peace of mind of OnStar.
All you're going to need to do is take it off and put it back on, and then the light will go off. That's all that's wrong.
Thank you. I'll do it right now.
Can I assist with anything else?
No, nope, that's fine.
Do remember that we're here to help you 24 hours a day. Thank you for using OnStar.
The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles and covers unlimited use of all safety and security services. To experience OnStar, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar by GM.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Coming up later this hour, Winslow T. Wheeler returns to this program. He served on Capitol Hill for about 30 years at the Government Accounting Office, now called the Accountability Office. We're going to get his take on the cost of the war in Iraq, the cost of a war against Iran, and a few other issues as well. But first, Dean Baker joins us. He's co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research. He's a very busy guy. Last year, he published a book called Conservative Nanny State, How the Wealthy Use the Government to Stay Rich and Get Richer. And he also does the blog thing. And I found it at prospect.org. That's the website of the American Prospect. Dean Baker, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Thanks for having me on.
Now, you don't know me, and you've probably never seen a picture of me, but I'm a bald guy, and I got a haircut the other day when the stock market took a big dive. About 3.5% losses in the United States, about 9% in China, and it was kind of a ripple effect through the markets around the world. Over the last couple of days, things seem to have stabilized a little bit. I want to talk about your piece about Chairman Ben Bernanke and whether his job is to soothe people and stabilize the markets. I think you raised some very interesting points there. But overall, what's your take on the cause of this and, more importantly, the impact on average investors? Not the big, high-rolling hedge fund types, but you know, me with a Schwab portfolio?
Yeah, well, a couple things. First off, you know, I have to say it's very hard to figure out what is determining the market's moves. You know, the market in principle can, you know, be responding to what the economy is going to be doing, but sometimes it moves in ways that, you know, really seem to have nothing at all to do with the economy. And the best example that I can think of is going back to 1987 when we had the huge crash. The market fell by more than 20% in a single day. It'd be very hard pressed to find any economic news. You know, there were some problems, but, you know, there's always some problems. It's very hard to identify anything, you know, back in October of 1987 that explained that 20% drop. So, what's the market going to do tomorrow, next week? Very, very hard to say. Now, in reality, what do I think the economy looks like? There's definitely lots of problems. You know, and Alan Greenspan, you know, was in Hong Kong and called attention to that. And, you know, that may have been one of the factors for people didn't catch it. Greenspan warned of the possibility of a recession later in the year. Mm-hmm. I actually would probably paint a somewhat more dire picture than he did. So that may have been a factor. So I think the economy does face serious problems. And that can lead to the market falling, because basically what I'd say right now is that the market had been running up over the last year, year and a half, seemingly with the expectation that everything was rosy. And it's very hard to see right now what's so rosy. I mean, there's a lot of problems in the economy, and what I hold up front and center there is simply the housing market, that we have a housing bubble, and that seems to be coming to an end, just as the stock bubble came to an end back in 2000. So that's sort of the dire story I would paint, and, you know, perhaps the markets are starting to react to that, and if in fact it really is the case that the housing bubble does collapse, and that probably will mean a recession, that will not be good news for stockholders.
Mm-hmm. I have a quote from you here. When stocks plunge in value, it's similar to a situation where there are trillions of dollars in counterfeit currency held by a small group of people, and the police seize and burn it. It's good news for the rest of us because the trillions of dollars of counterfeit money will not be bidding up the prices of things like houses and cars. Any honest economist would have to concede this point. It's elementary economics, but many economists tend to cheer the stock market, in effect favoring the wealthy at everyone else's expense. Explain in terms that even I can understand.
Okay, well, first off, let me get something straight in terms of the distribution of stock ownership, because oftentimes people talk about the stock market as though everyone's invested in it. And certainly there are more people invested in the market today than, say, 25 years ago. But the fact of the matter is most people still own little or no stock. So you have somewhere close to half the population still owns no stock. That's including money in 401ks, you know, where people might hold a mutual fund. So you still have very close to half the population doesn't have any stock. And of the half that does, half of those people have less than 25,000 invested in the stock market. So you have a situation where it's still the case that 75% of the population has a relatively insignificant amount of money. I'm defining 25,000 here as my cutoff. It's significant. So most people still have relatively little at stake. Now, with that in mind, when the stock market goes up, let's assume that the stock market doesn't, for the moment, have anything to do with the economy. So you get situations like in the late 90s where the stock market, I think everyone would agree with this in retrospect, and some of us were warning about it back at the time, the market was, you know, afflicted with, you know, Greenspan's term, irrational exuberance. It was exploding. Okay, so when the market goes up, the people who held lots of stock, of course, were suddenly very wealthy. And they can go out and buy a lot of things, and let's just be very concrete here, they go out and buy houses. Okay, now, if you don't own stock, you make your living by working, you know, and you don't own stock, and you want to buy a house, well, you're suddenly bidding against someone who's got hundreds of thousands of dollars in the stock market because, you know, they own the latest internet stock and it just went through the roof. You're going to have to pay more for that house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's my analogy to the counterfeit money, that, you know, it's just the same as, you know, if they just went to their basement, they have a printing press there, and they printed up $500,000, and they go out and bid against you on the house. Well, in a lot of ways, it's kind of the same thing. They, you know, they bought up an internet stock, it went through the roof, and now they got $500,000, and you're going to bid against them for the house. So if the market then plummets, you know, as it did, and of course 2000 to 2002, and the NASDAQ went from over 5,000 to, I think it fell as low as about 1,100 at a point, you know, well, suddenly they lost their counterfeit money. So in principle, it's now going to be easier for you to buy the house because, you know, the person you're bidding against isn't sitting there with this big stack of money that they made in the stock market.
Mm-hmm. Dean Baker is with us. He's co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research. If you have a question or comment about the market, the roller coaster this week, feel free to give us a call. Lines are open for you toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, I think this is a good point to bring in your essay that's at the blog there at prospect.org/Dean Baker, where you question the role of the current Fed chairman, Ben Bernanke, because he did appear to offer some soothing words yesterday in a congressional appearance. It wasn't scheduled because of the stock market problems, but the timing probably was helpful. And you raise the question about who benefits when he manages to take the volatility out of the market.
Yeah, and let me just be a little careful here because I'm throwing in one additional point, which I don't know that he'd agree with. But, you know, I was saying let's imagine that, you know, he did see bad times ahead. Let's say that he agrees with Alan Greenspan that he thinks that, you know, there's a decent chance we're going to be in a recession by the end of the year. So I'm saying if he believes that to be the case, then who is he doing a favor if he then goes and testifies before Congress and says, no, things look fine? And my point here is that, you know, he's going there and he's soothing the market so we don't have a big sell-off. And I said, well, let's, again, being a little hypothetical, a little, caricature, but let's say on the one hand we have, you know, we'll call them shrewd, active investors, and I dubbed them in the essay, I call them hedge funds.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have more passive investors. I said middle-class 401k investors. And the middle-class 401k investors just, you know, they have a deduction from their paycheck every month and put it in the stock market. On the other hand, the active hedge fund investors, you know, they're in and out every day, every hour. So if we get Ben Bernanke, goes out and testifies before Congress, everything's fine, well, the passive 401k investors are likely to keep putting their money in the market. Whereas the hedge fund investors, they're likely to, you know, follow events and get wind that, you know, yes, you know, things really don't look very good, and they're going to sell off their stock. So if that, you know, again, I'm very stylized facts, and I wouldn't, you know, I'm not trying to pin anything on Bernanke because maybe he really does think things are just fine.
Mm-hmm.
But in this scenario where he doesn't, and he's just saying that because he thinks it's good to stabilize the markets, what he ends up doing then is he gives the hedge fund investors the opportunity to still sell when the market's relatively high and leaves the passive 401k investors stuck in the market as it goes downward through, let's say, the next 2 or 3 months.
Well, and I'm not expert on this, but I'll just speculate anyway because it's a radio show. What I don't know are the underlying metrics, you know, that, number one, you and I both agree we don't know exactly why we saw the 9% loss in China, 3% in the U.S. On Tuesday of this week. But when I look at the deficits that we're running, the weak dollar, the way we are hostage to our creditor nations, the incredible trade deficit that continues to grow every year, and then the money that we're burning in Iraq and on these foreign policy blunders of the Bush administration, to me it all adds up to potential weaknesses in the American economy. And a panic could easily occur. And I worry more about the panic than that the underlying fundamentals are going to contribute to a similar drop.
Well, I mean, you just described the fundamentals, though, that should imply that there would be a big drop. In other words, you know, if we get a situation where the dollar plummets because, you know, the foreign central banks decide to stop supporting the dollar, well, that's going to lead to a lot of inflation in the United States. A lot of inflation would probably mean higher interest rates. It would almost certainly bring down the housing market, which probably would throw the economy into a recession. Profits would probably fall a great deal. That would be a situation where you would expect the market to fall a great deal. Now, if that happened in a day as opposed to, you know, say 6 months or a year, on the face of it, I don't see any problem. I mean, people will be very upset that single day, but
mm-hmm.
you know, on the other hand, you know, you get to the same place, and in a lot of ways the argument is that, you know, we'd really be better off if we could do it quickly rather than having this prolonged period where the market gradually gives up ground. And again, there is this distributional question: if what would be going on in that single day is everyone gets out as opposed to just, you know, the more knowledgeable, the shrewder investors.
Understood, yeah.
You know, then I think that's probably a good thing.
We're going to take a break and return with Dean Baker. We'll go to the phones in the next segment. If you have a comment about the stock market ups and downs, 888-5, Peter B. is our toll-free number, 888-573-8372. Dean Baker, co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research. He'll return in a moment, along with me, here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a baba ganoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. MPG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to you. Let's take a look at the early afternoon commute and get you to your destination safely. So we want to talk about, well, what about SoCal? Porter Street, Highway 1, accident reported there. Looks like CHP on the way to the scene. Monterey, we want to talk about northbound 1 after Casa Verde. We have an accident report there. Two vehicles. This is in the center divide area. If you're in Aptos, heads up on Soquel Drive at Speckles. We just had Spreckles, a crash on the right shoulder. Two vehicles. And in Soledad, southbound 101, right after Soledad State Prison, we have a vehicle that is on fire, smoking heavily on the right shoulder. Fire department is en route, or actually should be on scene by now. And this, it's the JCPenney Extreme Sale this Friday and Saturday. Doors open early Saturday at 8. Savings matters at JCPenney. See store for details. I'm Mike. That's traffic on KRXA AM 540.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. Lines available if you'd like to talk with Dean Baker. He is co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research, and their website is cepr.net. That's cepr.net. And we are joined, Dean, by John from Carmel Valley. Go ahead, John. You're on the air.
I'd like to ask your guest if he doesn't agree with me that all market economics is a politer, more acceptable term for the old laissez-faire economics, and that that policy was especially in place in the 20s, and that we now have a duplicate of that, and that the right wing and these advocates for this policy never learned one shred of anything from the calamities that that policy created in the 29 crash and the Great Depression, that most historians still feel was the biggest crisis this country ever had to endure. They learned nothing, and they are inflicting this awfulness on us again. Is that true, or do you agree with that?
Well, I would agree with part of that. I mean, I don't like to give them credit for saying that it's laissez-faire free market, because they have all sorts of interventions all over the place. I'll just mention in passing, and I talk about this in my book, The Conservative Nanny State, patent protection, copyright protection. You know, drugs are expensive because they're patented. So they have all sorts of interventions in the economy. They're not laissez-faire. They're not free traders. But, you know, in terms of, you know, laissez-faire about letting market bubbles get out of hand, absolutely. And I think this is copyright protection. You know, drugs are expensive because they're patented. So they have all sorts of interventions in the economy. They're not laissez-faire. They're not free traders. But, you know, in terms of, you know, laissez-faire about letting market bubbles get out of hand, absolutely. And I think this is really quite a crime. I mean, I talked about this back in the 90s where we had the stock bubble. The Fed looked the other way. The Treasury looked the other way. They let the bubble just grow to ridiculous proportions. It eventually collapsed, and, you know, a lot of people were hurt by that. A lot of state pension funds were hurt by that, and private pension funds, the bankruptcies or the problems facing the auto industry, are at least partly attributable to the stock bubble and the demise of their pension funds. But on top of that, that created the recession, led to the recession in 2001, which people look at now and they go, well, that was a mild recession. The reason why it was mild, we had a very hard time coming out of that, and when we finally came out of that, it was essentially on the back of the housing bubble.
Word. But it doesn't stop there. In Florida, there's a bill now to ban the A word. A Florida state senator says describing illegal immigrants with the A word implies they came from another planet. Instead of using the A word, she would prefer to think of them as colleagues, undocumented colleagues, which is fine with me. I don't care. As long as it remains legal to say nuclear. Because if that's ever outlawed, we'd have to go through that impeachment thing again. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging. And the fastest way to stop them is with Barracuda Network's spam, firewalls, and web filters. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now and ask for your free trial. Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use. That's why over 35,000 leading companies are using the award-winning firewall. Try a Barracuda firewall for free. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
One Day Income Tax Service, family owned and operated since 1944, specializes in year-round professional tax preparation. Do you want your refund quickly? Stop by One Day Income Tax Service. They offer tax preparation at reasonable rates and work to meet the needs of military families with the capacity to process all out-of-state returns. If you prefer to prepare your own return at home, they can help you expedite your refund by filing your return electronically. Let One Day Income Tax Service assist you with your return and maximize your refund. Stop by 885 Broadway Avenue in Seaside, where no appointment is necessary. Looking for quick, professional, and reasonable tax return preparation? Visit One Day Income Tax Service, 885 Broadway Avenue, Seaside, or call 394-8010. That's 831-394-8010. One Day Income Tax Service, where you walk in with a copy of your most recent tax return, personal ID, and W-2 1099 info for 2006, and you walk out with your completed tax return.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, where we favor electric guitars and progressive politics. You're invited to join this conversation toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. Our music of the moment, a Dutch import, 1974. George Cumans and Golden Earring. Ah, but that's enough of that. Joining me now is Winslow T. Wheeler. He's the director of the Strauss Military Reform Project at the Center for Defense Information. He spent 31 years working for U.S. senators from both parties and at what used to be called the Government Accounting Office, now Government Accountability Office. He wrote an essay on the defense budget in the new counterpunch book called Dime's Worth of Difference and his latest book, The Wastrels of Defense, How Congress Sabotages U.S. Security, is published by the Naval Institute Press. Winslow T. Wheeler, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you again.
Nice to talk with you, sir, and we do honor middle initials here on this program. Now, you know about the numbers, right?
Yeah, I've been a budget geek on defense issues for a long time.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious about a few things. First of all, we saw some action in the Senate today where Senator Conrad offered a proposal to cut about $20 billion from the next authorization, the special for Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And he was pushed back by Democratic senators along with Republicans. And just a fundamental question, given your years of experience on Capitol Hill, what do you think it's going to take for consensus to develop that the administration will not rein in its behavior until the Congress starts to cut off funding?
Yes, I agree. It's going to take people doing their homework, and it's going to take, I don't mean to be too facetious, but it's going to take adult behavior. It's not just that when the Republicans were in charge that nobody has done any oversight in Congress. It's been a long time on the defense budget. The Democrats have adopted this mindset where if they don't throw as much money as they can get their hands on at defense issues, then the Republicans will attack them for being anti-defense, and they're scared witless of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so they basically, in a strategic sense, have been rolled by the Republicans. And they need to find courage in the facts. They need to go do the investigations, the legwork. Go find out where the soft spots are in the budget, where the incompetent managers are, and there's lots of them.
Mm-hmm.
People who are not doing their job, people who are dreaming up technological fantasies, and nobody asks any serious questions about, does this make any sense? And even if it does make any sense, will this application work?
Mm-hmm.
None of that's going on.
Yeah. And I really want to see some spine develop, and I try to be fair. It doesn't come easily sometimes.
Right.
But I do understand that I've never seen the Senate, the control of the Senate so tenuous. And we have now a constant threat from Senator Lieberman of Connecticut to bolt from the Democratic caucus and force an obvious potential change in the leadership.
Mm-hmm.
If he becomes disaffected with the Democratic approach. Is that the key driver of the timidity of the Democrats, in your view?
No. First, I'm not a fan of Lieberman's, but he at least has had the decency not to threaten every week, if I don't get my way on this, I'll switch parties. He's not played that game. Others might be tempted to, but at least he hasn't.
I believe he did make such a threat last week.
Well, there have been, yes, he did once,
uh-huh.
But that's not been, he's not been this sort of whiny, if I don't get my way,
Right, and it's not about parking spaces, I understand that, but he does have a difference of views on the war. He's much closer to the administration, and I think there is a realistic threat that he could pull a Jeffords.
that's certainly possible, but I'm just trying to say he hasn't overplayed that hand.
Gotcha.
But even if it weren't a margin of one vote,
the way the Republicans have successfully rolled the Democrats would still obtain. I mean, it goes back to the Clinton administration. President Clinton sent the message to the Joint Chiefs, I don't want any problems. You can have just about anything you want. And that's basically what they got. When they started pressuring for more money, they got that too. Despite his reputation for being a nasty tough guy, Donald Rumsfeld was a pussycat for the military services. In almost no cases did he do anything about the low-hanging fruit of weapon systems that were designed in another age for another kind of conflict, or that were doing poorly in tests, or that it had busted their budget several times over. All of those are doing a lot very well, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
And he did eliminate a couple of systems for the Army, the Comanche helicopter and the Crusader artillery system. But those were exceptions, not the rule. And he was a tough guy on insisting that the war be fought his way, and it turned out to be a disaster. And the services rolled over for him on that. But on budget issues, they've had their way with them quite easily, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just as the Republicans have rolled the Democrats on a lot of defense issues, so the military services rolled Secretary of Defense after Secretary of Defense.
Mm-hmm. So how do you unroll this?
It's the same answer. People have to do oversight and adult behavior. I mean, fighting the services is tough bureaucratic business, and you have to have the spine to do it. The greatest fortitude you can find to get that spine is to understand the problems, understand the facts, dig deep, have a competent staff who can do that, and report back honestly to you, not concerned about the politics of the matter. And we don't have that in the Office of Secretary of Defense. We don't have that on Capitol Hill. So we're in deep yogurt here. We have a defense budget that is zooming upwards, and there's nobody in the driver's seat working the controls.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday we were talking with Ivan Eland. He is at the Libertarian Independent Institute.
Right.
And he made some interesting points about Afghanistan, and it's really been treated as an afterthought in the Bush administration's retooling of the alleged way forward in that part of the world. But there's a basic bipartisan consensus that we ought to surge in Afghanistan. And he makes the point that that's probably bad policy because, Afghanistan is a very difficult country to control.
Mm-hmm.
And unless we're really serious about occupying it at the level we have occupied Iraq or greater, it wouldn't make much difference and it would just put more American lives at risk. What's your take on Afghanistan right now?
I have a lot of respect for Ivan. I don't fundamentally disagree with him. Afghanistan has been going south gradually. People haven't been noticing that simply because we're fixated on Iraq. But there's fundamental problems there, too. We have the same basic issue of a white, Christian, Western American army in a alien land, alien by nature of ethnicity, religion, culture, race, you name it. And that sets an atmosphere where we make ourselves unwelcome for all kinds of reasons. We also had the problem in Afghanistan that the Bush administration did very early on that nobody's paid much attention to, which is that when we put Hamid Karzai on top of the government structure there, we also permitted the warlords to reattach themselves to these various areas in Afghanistan, and they're basically running things in the provinces. And they're very happy to get the poppy crop planted and harvested, and we now have more heroin coming out of Afghanistan than ever before. There's talk of a campaign to reduce it somewhat this year. We'll see. The warlords will resist that quite strenuously.
Mm-hmm.
In a deep and fundamental sense, we're our own worst enemy in Afghanistan, both because of who and what we are and because of who we put in charge in many of the regions there.
Well, and as you mentioned, there isn't much attention paid. I saw a report, I recall, last September of 2006 that showed in the first 9 months of 2006, we conducted far more aerial bombing raids in Afghanistan than we did in Iraq.
Yep, and we're turning up the wick in Iraq, too. This goes to the image that we have of ourselves of, on the one hand, being humanitarian, and on the other hand, our weapons being oh so precise. It's not really the case. In some of these conflicts in an urban setting, even if we do hit the target, which is not always the case, there's collateral damage. Neighbors' houses, even if they survive, get taken out as well. But also, too often, the problem is we're not quite sure what we're shooting at. These aircraft are delivering these munitions from 10, 12,000 feet. The problem often isn't that they can't get the munition onto the target. The problem is often we're not quite sure what we're shooting at.
Mm-hmm.
A building has been designated as a target. We'll hit the building, but there could be innocents in that building. We haven't bothered to clear it. We now see the result in terms of the polling we've seen in Iraq for years now of 80% want us out of their country and 60% think it's just fine to kill an American.
Yeah, yeah. I want to ask your thoughts about the about-face by the administration, which, of course, they deny. It appears they're actually following up on one of the proposals of the Baker-Hamilton Commission. And while it's framed as a regional meeting at the behest of the independent government of Iraq, the U.S. will be sitting down at the table in March with, just about 10 days away, with Syria and Iran. And they've populated the table with the Security Council members from the United Nations.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't that just a way to have an audience so that the U.S. and Iran and Syria can actually talk more or less directly?
Well, we'll have to watch closely and see. When Condoleezza Rice sort of let that slip the day before yesterday, it was not at all clear to me whether this was going to be a pro forma activity on our part to sort of appease the Iraq Study Group and the Democrats in Congress, or whether they're going to be serious about engaging with Syria and Iran to come to some kind of accommodation with them. We're apparently still making our demands for preconditions from the Iranians on the nuclear issue, and it begins to make me think that we're adopting this sort of non-starter approach to this conference table.
So we'll have some meetings and call it diplomacy?
Well, we're going to have to watch it and see.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if the American delegation is senior and whether it does seriously engage with Iran and Syria, or whether we're just going through some kabuki dance here.
Mm-hmm.
To continue to this road to conflict with Iran that lots of people in the neoconservative community desperately want us to be on.
And that's where I want to go next. I want to talk about Iran and also North Korea. Winslow T. Wheeler is our guest. He's a senior fellow at the Strauss Military Reform Project at the Center for Defense Information. Spent 31 years on Capitol Hill. More in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
You're the sea, yeah. In the house of love. The air
No more commercials for, you know, at least 8 minutes. I'm a real powerful guy. I'm the host of the Peter B. Collins Show. Winslow T. Wheeler is our guest. As we mentioned, he's director and senior fellow at the Center for Defense Information, and they're on the web at cdi.org, cdi.org. Winslow Wheeler, I want to talk about Iran, but I wanted to frame it around the revelation in the last 24 hours that we now believe that the intelligence that led us to believe that North Korea was further along in its nuclear, quest for a nuclear weapon, turns out to be unreliable. And that, of course, we have to put in context with the flatly false information that was represented as intelligence regarding Saddam Hussein's capacities and intentions. And now we see the United States grasping at straws, trying to paint a tortured connection between Iran and our problems in Iraq, trying to really ratchet up the tensions with Iran. And many of us are very concerned that this administration has a secret plan to attack Iran militarily, and yet we hear denials, rather flat ones, from the president, the vice president, and the new Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot on that plate. I guess I go back to late 2002, early 2003, when the president assured us there was no plan for war with Iraq on his desk.
Right, it was under the desk.
Right, and we were even assured by the CENTCON commander, General Tommy Franks, that it was just foolishness that, you know, we were thinking about war with Iraq. He was flat out lying.
Well, those are those are covered by the Lee Marvin Clause, right? They're just idle mail promises.
Right. I guess there's two points to make here. This time, at least, we had the past as prologue, but they still seem to think we're stupid enough to take all this, you know, objectively and without any skepticism. Some, at least, on Capitol are not doing that. Some of the presidential candidates are seeming trying to have it both ways. But we're forearmed. There's one thing about the North Korean news that I think is more important than people appreciate. We broke out of the 1994 Clinton agreement with North Korea because we were accusing them of walking around that agreement and circumventing it and going down the route of enriched uranium for their bomb. Now we're saying that we're not so sure about that. The response that the North Koreans, we need to remember, they threw the IAEA out of North Korea. The inspectors that they had been monitoring the plutonium in their nuclear facility were thrown out of the country. The North Koreans then proceeded to use that very same plutonium that the IAEA no longer had control of to produce the bomb that they did explode. And what I'm suggesting here is that because of it raises the possibility that by virtue of the Bush administration's possible hyping of this intelligence, that we provoked the North Koreans into detonating their bomb.
Yeah.
That journalists don't seem to have caught on to that quite yet, at least the ones that articles I've read. But that's a tremendously serious consequence of the president's accusation a few years ago that they were doing this, and they had broken the agreement, therefore we were breaking the agreement, and then they threw the UN monitors out.
Well, here's an apparently meaningless anecdote, but it might connect. My mom's been smoking cigarettes all her life, and she started because her father accused her of sneaking cigarettes. She says she wasn't, but since she was accused, she said, well, I may as well go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the thinking of Kim Jong-il, that once the Bush administration alleged this, he said, well, we better live up to it, because we don't want to be caught empty-handed like Saddam.
Well, you're pointing out that that is a human nature reaction, and as loony as Kim Jong-il is, and the clique around him, it's very possible that explains some of their behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a real mistake, and it has real consequences.
Yeah. So how do we stop any military action against Iran?
I'm impressed with what a Republican congressman has done. His name is Walter Ford. He's from North Carolina. And he's introduced legislation to make it explicitly clear that the president does not have authority to take hostile actions against Iran. That would not cover the possibility that if the Iranians did something to attack us, we could respond.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get back to considering, well, are we going to do something to provoke them to do exactly that so we're off the hook?
Yeah.
And so it's another one of those things where Congress has to earn its pay here and to watch this and send the right signals to the president that he's, this is not going to fly.
Mm-hmm.
And the consequences of an American so-called surgical strike against Iran because of its nuclear facilities, there's too many problems there. We don't know where all the nuclear facilities are.
Right.
And that's going to provoke a Iranian response, and we're not going to like that response.
Well, we act like it's a video game, and we can inflict all kinds of damage and then just turn it off, and nothing will happen to us. Winslow, I wanted to just ask you one other thing completely unrelated. What is the status of Bunateen Greenhouse? She was the courageous auditor at the Pentagon who exposed some of the overbilling by Halliburton and others, and she was sidelined, but she hasn't been fired, right?
Well, that's an excellent question, and I don't know the answer.
Okay. I just figure you're inside the Beltway, and you would know.
I should know, but I don't, because you're right, she did blow that whistle. And I don't know.
Yeah, okay. That's a fair answer. Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
It's my pleasure. Glad to be with you. Very glad.
All right. Winslow T. Wheeler, again, Director and Senior Fellow, Strauss Military Reform Project, Center for Defense Information, CDI.org on the web. The Free Speech Zone is next. Your calls and comments, bring them on. Here at the Peter B. Collins Show, 888-5-PETER-B.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirements.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A memorable first day for this substitute teacher in Enterprise, Alabama, where a tornado roared into the high school this afternoon.
The ceiling fell in. The ceiling and the windows flying. A lot of people were cut. But I don't know any other things about it, but it was. It didn't last for about 10 seconds.
10 seconds was enough to cause terrible damage and death.
The latest death toll in the state of Alabama related to the tornado, we have 18 fatalities. Of that number, 17 in the Enterprise area and one in Wilcox County.
Yazemi Richardson of the State Emergency Management Agency. At least 8 people died at the school. Mike Gerspan is a reporter for CBS television affiliate WTBY.
It hit the south end of the school where the math and the sciences are located at. And the students, basically, they were put into the hallway. And what happened at that point was that the students were in the hallway, told to duck and cover, then the entire building imploded upon them.
Earlier, a tornado killed a 7-year-old girl in Missouri. Twisters were also reported in Kansas. It's the southern edge of a massive storm system that's brought blizzard conditions to the northern plains and upper Midwest. Defense Secretary Gates is moving quickly to heal the problems of patient care at Walter Reed Army Medical Center. Today, the man in charge, Major General George Waitman, was relieved of command.
I don't have very much patience with people who don't step up to the plate in terms of addressing problems that are under their responsibility.
The outside review panel Gates formed in the wake of a Washington Post series will meet tomorrow to begin its investigation of treatment practices at Walter Reed and at Bethesda Naval Medical Center. A victory for organized labor, courtesy of House Democrats. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports today's vote was largely along party lines.
The bill would make it much easier for workers to organize and join unions. If a majority sign up to have a union, says Democratic leader Steny Hoyer, they would get one.
This legislation will help restore fairness to the workplace.
That means employers could no longer demand an election. Unfair, says Republican leader John Boehner.
It's almost beyond my imagination that this bill is on the floor of the United States House of Representatives taking away the secret ballot election.
Businesses don't want more workers unionized and can likely stop this bill in the Senate and can also count on a presidential veto. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
They'll never be able to say there was a rush to judgment at the Scooter Libby trial. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports jurors are taking their time going over the evidence.
No sign the jury is stressing after 6.5 days of deliberations. Quite the contrary. They appear relaxed, upbeat, even a bit bouncy. Most smiled during a brief courtroom appearance. One courtroom watcher described them this way. They're on a cruise.
After a plunge of more than 200 points, the Dow stabilized and closed 34 points lower at 12,234. This is CBS News.
Get the good stuff!
One of the most stylish accessories available at your local Napa Auto Parts store isn't for your car. It's for your head. It's the all-new 2007 Napa Racing Hat, and it can be yours free. Just bring any old hat to your local Napa Auto Parts store, and you can swap it for this cool new Napa Racing Hat. Hats are free with any purchase at participating Napa locations while supplies last. Limit one per customer. Napa. Get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
So, you're a consultant?
Yes, sir.
What's with the wall of sticky notes?
It's my small business accounting system. Unpaid invoices go on the purple ones.
And the green?
New customers.
So, unpaid bills are the yellow ones.
How'd you know?
I took a shot. You know, there's an easier way to manage your business.
Yeah?
Yeah, QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you write checks, send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't.
I'll switch. So, need a couple hundred sticky notes?
I'm going to pass on that. QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at OfficeMax, Best Buy, or Amazon.com.
Hypnotism apparently cured a Florida teenager who suffered a severe case of the hiccups and couldn't get rid of them with any of the traditional remedies. CBS News correspondent Peter King has the story.
After 5 weeks and 6 days, the hiccups have finally stopped. St. Petersburg teenager Jennifer Mee says it happened suddenly after hypnosis.
I had went to four different doctors, and my last doctor that I went and saw, which was my hypnotist, they stopped. After my second session, they stopped.
Her first reaction?
I was in tears.
And then relief.
I'm so relieved that I actually, first thing that popped in my mind yesterday is that I'm going back to school.
And she says she's looking forward to just doing the things that a 15-year-old would normally do. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Florida is one of seven states that have laws against unmarried men and women cohabitating. The laws are rarely, if ever, enforced. Today, the North Dakota legislature voted to abolish a law that makes cohabitation a sex crime in the same category as rape, incest, and adultery. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Okay, ooh, 17-inch aluminum wheels. All-new Chrysler Sebring Touring, standard. Toyota Camry LE, not available. Honda Accord LX, not available. Yes, essential stain-resistant fabric. Sebring, standard. Other guys, not available. There's got to be something, huh? Steering wheel, Sebring, standard. Toyota and Honda, standard.
The all-new Chrysler Sebring, completely redesigned inside and out with many exclusive features. As described, $21,110. MSRP excludes tax.
And now for the bonus round. What's the inverse of January 12th?
September 22nd, 9 p.m. Eastern.
Correct. What's next in this sequence? Sequoia? Hummingbird?
Pantalones.
Correct. How many movies has Netflix delivered so far?
Over 1 billion.
Correct. Netflix. Over 1 billion movies delivered so far. Zero late fees. Choose movies online and get DVDs delivered to your door in about one business day. Start your free trial. Plans now from only $4.99 a month. Netflix. It's that easy.
Live from San Francisco, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Lively, informative, compelling, progressive talk radio. And it's interactive, too, which is a fancy way of saying he takes your phone calls. Toll free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. Fasten your seatbelt and let's take a ride in Peter B.'s America.
It's the Free Speech Zone, friends. Your calls and comments are welcome. Have you heard the rules? We take calls on any subject, from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. And lines are open right now at 888-5-PETER-B. Somebody get through to UB40, please. We need an updated version of this song. There's a rat in the White House. What am I going to do? Now, what's the rat up to lately? Well, there are so many things, it's hard to narrow it down to a couple. But for the purposes of our discussion right now, I will. The United States has announced that it will not cooperate in any attempt by the nation of Italy to extradite American CIA and other officials for breaking the laws of Italy by kidnapping an Egyptian cleric on the streets of Milan and using what we call extraordinary rendition to whisk him to Egypt, where he was tortured. And it took Italy a while to investigate, and probably to screw up the courage to even suggest arresting and extraditing these individuals. But the U.S., of course, is above the law, and the war on terror changed everything, and so the answer to Italy is N-O-N. No. The U.S. will reject any request by Italy to extradite CIA agents for the first criminal trial over controversial U.S. renditions, according to a U.S. government lawyer. His name is John Bellinger. He's the State Department's legal advisor. Quote, "We've not got an extradition request from Italy. If we got an extradition request from Italy, we would not extradite U.S. officials to Italy." And then he issued just a little needle, perhaps scripted by Dick Cheney. "The continuing threat of criminal charges not only harms cooperation on our end, but does also cast a pall over cooperation on the European side as well. We get assurances from countries that individuals will be properly treated, and if we can't get these assurances, we will not turn people over to those countries." Now, Italy has a credible issue here. And I believe we should deliver these people and not even wait for extradition papers. But, of course, the Bush administration will operate with maximum secrecy and contempt for the rule of law here or in Italy. And that contempt is so clear and obvious in the case of Jose Padilla. And it saddens me to tell this story. Now, I have no idea if Jose Padilla is guilty of any terrorist activities. And we may never find out because he may never stand trial. He spent 3 years in a Navy brig in Charleston, South Carolina, without being charged, held as an unlawful enemy combatant, despite the fact that he's a U.S. citizen. Now, we've heard the jacket on Jose Padilla, because when John Ashcroft was Attorney General, he went public and tried to smear this guy, again, without ever charging him or bringing him to trial. And based on Ashcroft's comments, in the minds of many Americans, Jose Padilla has already been convicted of terrorist activities. But this guy is such a basket case that his own attorneys say that he won't cooperate with them in his own defense. And the government put a couple of monkeys up on the stand, one of whom is he works for the government. I'm trying to find his name here in this story. I'll look it up during the break and flesh it out for you. But the government side has interviewed Mr. Padilla twice. Once when he was brought into the current facility where he's being held. And 2 years later, the same guy interviewed him through the porthole in his cell for less than half an hour. And based on that, they claim that he's competent to stand trial. The defense attorneys tell a far different story. And regrettably, the federal judge ruled yesterday in favor of the government. Marcia Cook of Federal District Court in Miami rejected the defense lawyer's request that Padilla be sent to a hospital for psychiatric treatment and said that he is competent to stand trial. Now, to her credit, she explicitly stated that there are other claims presented by the defense in motions before her court that she has not yet reviewed or accepted or rejected. And those claims relate to whether Padilla should have the charges dismissed because of outrageous government conduct. Yeah, 3 years in the brig, blackened windows. There's one video where they show Jose Padilla being taken to a dental appointment. They've got him all wrapped up, totally shackled, blindfolded, and then gratuitously, the guards who escort him have their name tags covered. Now, he's blindfolded. Yet, they feel the need to protect themselves from this guy. Also, the judge in this case rejected some attempt by the government to introduce some phony evidence, an alleged Al-Qaeda handbook because she properly said there is no evidence that he's ever seen this thing. And the Al-Qaeda handbook says that if you are captured, you should pretend to be incompetent to stand trial. And they want to claim that Padilla is acting on, you know, Chapter 14 or whatever of the Al-Qaeda, captured operators handbook. This is beneath contempt. This is beneath American values. And this administration either ignores the critics or rationalizes it in ways that are simply not credible. Let's go to your calls. 888-5-PETER-B, the switchboard's jammed. And Greg joins us from Sacramento. Hello, Greg. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
I worry about people like yourself who have to sit in a studio day in and day out and read just absolutely depressing stuff like that. It's just, I don't know how you guys, how you manage to make it through the day after seeing stories like that.
Well, you know, when Rush went into rehab, he sent me his huge cache of unused OxyContin, and I have to say it feels real good.
Cool. We'll send some my way, too. I want to, is the main portion of your audience in San Francisco?
Not actually, no. We're on the air in Monterey, in Eureka, in Coos Bay, Oregon, and until tomorrow in Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, my God, they're dropping you in Phoenix?
Yeah, that's what's happening.
Jeez. Well, we lost our Air America affiliate here, too, so.
That's in Sacramento?
Yeah.
Right. Now, tell me about that. Did one of them shut down?
They changed the sports.
Was that 1240 or 1340?
No, 1320.
Oh, really?
Christine's still on. We got, fortunately, we got Malloy after she's off at 6. But yeah, we lost the other one. It's the same company that's involved with that water drinking thing where the girl died.
Yeah, that's right. It's called Intercom.
Intercom, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but anyway, I wanted to bring two things to the attention of your audience. That's why I asked, about whereabouts your main audience was. But
sure.
Tomorrow, and I know this is short notice, but we could use all the bodies we can get up here tomorrow. At 12 o'clock noon, torture boy Alberto Gonzalez is going to be speaking at McGeorge Law School.
Mm.
And on 5th, I don't have the address, but I know it's on 5th Avenue, and the school is off of Highway 99. It's kind of close to the downtown Sacramento area.
Okay.
But anybody who's in your audience that has nothing to do and wants to protest, come on up.
Okay.
We can use all the bodies we can get, and there are some signs available. So come on up. Yeah.
Well, and I would encourage people to be theatrical about it. You're not going to get to talk to him, but you could provide some visuals for the TV crews and, maybe dress up as detainees in shackles. Maybe put on a Jose Padilla costume.
There you go.
Yeah.
And that's tomorrow at 12 noon, so you need to be here by 11:30 at McGeorge Law School. The other thing, we have an event on the 17th coming up. Unfortunately, it's the fourth anniversary of this occupation.
That's right.
And it'll be here in Sacramento at 16th and Broadway. And we would love to have as many of your audience up here for that date as well.
And as we get closer, we'll review those events because I got an email that there is one in Eureka as well. And I just haven't mentioned it because it's too soon.
Yeah.
But we will bring that up in the next week or so. Greg, thanks for checking in. And I'm glad you're still listening online.
Oh, I'm trying.
Okay. All right. You set a good role model for people in Phoenix.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. We'll continue in just a moment, and if you want to call in, I've got a line available. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B. Collins. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Rock Roller Real Estate, the number one Sunday morning real estate show. This week, we'll be talking about a great market, Palm Springs and the surrounding areas, Indian Wells, La Quinta, Palm Desert, and Indio. That's this Sunday morning at 10. For more information on Rock Roller Real Estate, log on to our website at www.rockrollinrealestate.com or call us at 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
A very pleasant good afternoon to you, or good evening, I should say. We're going to start off with a little look at Highway 17. As of right now, things looking pretty good. No major stalls or accidents to report, which is always nice to hear. And we also want to mention that looks like we have a little bit of slow traffic reported. Southbound 1 slows between Monterey and Carmel. A reminder that we do have some road work that you folks really need to be in touch with in Santa Cruz. Highway 1 southbound to Morrissey Boulevard. That full on-ramp closure there is in place 24 hours a day, and it is actually scheduled through May 1st, so just be advised about that particular problem. Other than that, things looking pretty good, and let's tell you that this report is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. Right now, bring any old hat into Napa Auto Parts and get a new Napa racing hat free with any purchase while supplies last. Limit one per customer. Napa, get the good stuff. I'm Mike Best, traffic on KRXA.
Yeah, on the Peter B. Collins Show. A little ditty from Roy Zimmerman.
She's a real type A, and she's overinsured. Favorite castaway is Thurston Howell III. She doesn't like big government, so it's no surprise I can be her lover long as I downsize. My conservative girlfriend got a tiny little heart full of passion. My conservative girlfriend. Every Friday we go liberal bashing.
Here, one
got
more.
The Supreme Court, tattooed on her bum.
beside an autograph port.
Autograph port,
dripped with Donald rum.
Spelled.
And from the day I checked her out from front to back, I knew her private sector could take up the slack. My conservative girlfriend got a tiny little heart full of passion. My conservative girlfriend, every weekend we go wilderness trashing.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. And I want to thank everybody who has emailed about the changes in Phoenix. I appreciate it. Tony just dropped a line, said he streams the show in Canada. And starting Monday, there's a program change on KPHX. And I want to encourage you, if you'd like to continue to receive this program, to go to the peterbcollins.com website. That's where you can link up to streaming live at the same time as our current broadcast schedule. And after hours, you can also link up to the archives at whiterosesociety.org, and you can slam it on your iPod or burn it onto a CD and listen in the car, whatever works for you. But I do appreciate all the support and the outpouring of expression from people in Phoenix and, frankly, all over the place listening on the Nova M stream. Let's see, we got a couple of other emails that came in that I wanted to mention related to guests earlier on the program today. A lot of people reacted to Dr. Glenn Berry's critique of Al Gore and what he called the Hollywood greenies, who he thinks are insufficiently committed. He mentioned that, you know, Gore has three houses and that sort of thing. And I know a lot of people responded to that. Here's Mike. He writes, Peter, they have something to suck carbon out of the air and put it into the ground. It's called forests. By the way, does Al Gore have to wear sackcloth, ride an ass, and flog himself in order to be serious about the environment? That's a very good question. Richard in Santa Cruz, thanks for holding. You're next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Peter B., how are you? You're a true American.
I'm doing okay, thank you.
Hey, I've got a thought on the stock market. The Communist Party, is it true they own all industry and basically own everything?
In China?
Including, yeah. Including.
Actually, the way it's structured, things are evolving a little bit. But, you know, about 10 years ago, virtually every major industry in China was controlled by the military. I think they're called the PKK.
Well, they kind of oversee everything, I think, including the stock market. I was listening to NPR today. They compared the Chinese stock market to a gambling hall.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, there's no accountability or transparency in their government, so we really don't know, really, honestly, don't know what they're doing.
Well, and frankly, you raise a good point. I don't have a clue about what goes on with the stock market in China. How many people own shares in companies in China? I'm not even sure that you can buy shares of public companies. I guess you can just buy shares of the companies run by the government. But I honestly don't know that.
Remember, what armies always do is they probe and to see what the enemy is doing and how they can needle them. But maybe this was a little bit of needling by the Chinese.
Well, I'll bet there are people.
See what the American market would do.
Richard, I'll bet there are people listening who know more than you and I invite them to call. And if you know how the stock market works in China and who actually holds the shares, I'd love to know, because it took a 9% dive on Tuesday, and that was essentially the virus that caused everybody else to sneeze.
One quick other item on rendition. I think actually the true criminals are the administration, the Bush administration, and I think when they leave office, and as they did in the Hague with Rumsfeld, I think when these people leave the United States, they should be subject to no habeas corpus and be arrested.
Well, I'd love to see Bush installed in an ocean view suite at Gitmo.
I think they should be stuck in the United States forever and never be able to travel, because I think they are war criminals and they should be arrested. I mean, basically.
Well, Rumsfeld shouldn't transit through the Frankfurt airport anytime soon, because there is an indictment in Germany. Thank you, Richard. Now to Matt in Mesa. Hello, Matt. You're on the air.
Thank you. I had one quick question, not so much for you, but just for all my fellow Americans. And that one question is, why would a country that has the power to print its own money give that power away to a central bank? And that's something that everyone needs to think long and hard about, because that is the question of the day, and that is the root of all evil in this country. And that's all I have to say.
All right. Why don't you send me all of your Federal Reserve notes, Matt, and I'll destroy them for you. Or I'll at least get them out of circulation.
It's funny you say that about the Federal Reserve notes. Now, I do have some U.S. bank notes.
Uh-huh. Well, those are rarities. Hold on to them. When everything melts down, they'll be worth something. Thank you, Matt.
Not that they will, but...
All right. We'll take more of your calls next in the Free Speech Zone. 888-5 Peter B. puts you through. 888-573-8372.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Ray of frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Hey everybody, this is Larry from Acme Coffee Roasting Company in Seaside, and I want to know if you're tired of wading through hacky sackers and laptop zombies just to receive a mediocre cup of joe by some underwhelmed employee somewhere. Well, you come on down to Acme Coffee Roasting Company. Meet the local hardworking folks all around you. We roast the coffee every day. We're owner-operated and totally qualified. Why don't you come on down and see how we turned a little alleyway in Seaside, California into a place to grab a good cup of joe at the corner of Broadway and Contra Costa? Come on down, my friends. Just drink it. Resist corporate coffee.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
And you keep on rocking in the free world, will you? Huh? 33 minutes after the hour, there's a line open at 888-5-PETER-B. A lot of reaction to our guest earlier today, Dr. Glenn Barry, and if you want to read his piece, go to the blogspot, earthmeanders.blogspot.com, or go in through his main website at climatearc.com. He's based in the Midwest, Wisconsin, I think, and there's a picture of him actually hugging a tree on his blog. And he took a pretty hard line about the Hollywood greenies, as he said, who talk about global warming, climate change, and even maybe pay a little more out of guilt to these cap-and-trade funds. But he really came down pretty hard on Al Gore, and I don't agree with him. I don't think that we have to be perfect in order to sound an alarm about problems that we see. And the right wing went after Al Gore's garbage. Maybe they didn't actually dive through his garbage, but they took a look at his utility bills, and there's been a lot of pushback. And so here's a rejoinder to Dr. Barry from a gentleman named Marion. And he's in Oregon. And he pulled up a quote from the Huffington Post, which also is a response to this attack on Gore. He said, the Gores do have three homes. Heck, the Carries have more and two SUVs, for Pete's sake. The Gores should sell two of the homes, of course. Now, wait a minute, Marion. Who are we to tell Al Gore where he's got to live? And, you know, one of those homes in Tennessee, I believe, is the estate that he inherited from his father. And should we sit here in judgment of Al Gore and tell him what property he can own and what he can't? I don't go that far. Maybe I'm too much of a capitalist here, but I just think that, you know, certain things are personal choice. Anyway, the email continues, as someone whose electrical bill is two times that of my next-door neighbor, can I explain why? Like the Gores, I use green energy as much as possible. In my case, 100% of my power is wind power bought from, I think, Montana or Wyoming. We don't have enough of it here in Oregon, where our relatively clean power is hydro, but there isn't much room for expansion of that. Anyway, I didn't like your guest a bit. He seemed ill-informed first, and like he swallows right-wing propaganda 100% uncritically. Hence him getting several details completely wrong, yet puts others under microfine scrutiny and treated Gore like just a celebrity spokesman. As was the case with the Internet, he's more than that. He was informing people about it as far back as the 1980s. You know, he took classes on it, went out to remote areas to observe it, was taught by people who study core samples, and so on. Now, Gore is way more capitalistically inclined than I am, says the emailer, and that was my big quarrel with his book, Earth in the Balance. But you cannot say a person who advocates pollution trading credits and carbon offsets is hypocritical for using them. Your guest's solutions are all good and necessary, but his attitude sucks. With friends like him and his self-created environmental podium, the environment may not need enemies. Very well put, sir. And thank you for that email. I very much appreciate it. My email is peter@peterbcollins.com. And if you disagree with me, send it to fullofit@peterbcollins.com. I'll get it. Scott in Phoenix, thanks for holding. You're next here in the Free Speech Zone.
Well, hi, Peter.
Hi.
I didn't realize, I knew there was a shuffle going on the schedule at KPHX, but I thought they were just going to play you late at night for reruns. Is that not the case?
They offered me that option, and I declined for business reasons.
Oh. Well,
and I'm sorry that that disappoints some people, but honestly, it's just better for me to make a clean break.
Okay, well, we can still get you on the Internet, I guess.
Yes, you can get me live if you go to peterbcollins.com, and there's also a link there to the archives. And the archives are posted every day right after the show. Sometimes it takes 20 minutes for the computer to do it, but you can catch it, and then you can download that and listen at your leisure.
Great. Well, I will speak to him. I'll complain about it because you are one of my favorites.
Well, I appreciate that.
Thank you. And I wanted to comment about yesterday. You were talking about the issue of, prosecution of people for kiddie porn and so on. And
right. This case out of Arizona, which I've acknowledged I only learned about through the deliberations at the Supreme Court. So the underlying case is several years old. But it's a 57-year-old school teacher who was found with apparently a cache of images of child pornography. And they've sentenced him to 200 years. And I think that that is ridiculous. And I have taken some heat. There was a guy who emailed me, and it was interesting because he used some very crude sexual language to upbraid me for being insufficiently tough on child pornography.
Exactly. Well, the case is, it's very interesting because I fully agree with you, and I applaud your ability to be neutral about that. Instead of getting caught up in the herd mentality, the old, Jesse saw him do it, and so I got a rope, and there's a tree, so let's string the booger up, you know, that kind of mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember a few years ago, there was a particular case of this in which a woman was talking on the, actually it was a show, I believe, called Kim Komando. She talks about computers.
Yeah, I know about Kim Komando. I've actually met her once.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, in this particular instance, this woman was complaining about the heavy sentence being meted out to someone in a similar case who hadn't really done anything with anyone but who had some pornography in their computer. And Kim Komando replied, well, kiddie porn is disgusting, with the idea that they should just do to them whatever they can do to them. And then I, ironically, I went back to my own computer later, and I thought about this, thinking, gee, this person's being put away just because they found some on his computer.
Yeah.
And I looked in my computer, and I have never gone to a kiddie porn site. I also find it disgusting. I've never followed a link to a kiddie porn site, and I curiously went, you know, maybe I'll do a search. I did a search, and all of a sudden, here came up several pages of kiddie porn somehow in my computer. And so I thought, gee, now according to the rules of those who, with the herd mentality, the posse mentality, well, I should go to jail for the rest of my life just because that was in my computer, even though I have no interest in this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we do have to follow the rule of law, which I thought you carefully and correctly enunciated.
Well, here's the problem for me, Scott, is that our legislators have, there's a pattern of pandering that started really back in the Nixon years when he declared a war on crime. That, of course, was a race-baiting approach because he was actually trying to crack down on African-American crime because of the series of riots that occurred in the mid-60s and on up through the end of that decade under his watch. And so it started there, and they started ratcheting up the penalties. Then, of course, we declared war on drugs, and that produced this this unconstitutional approach to sentencing called the minimum mandatory. And now that has been applied to other crimes. And the one area where I have to concede that there is an issue is the recidivism of child molesters. And New York State, for example, is now grappling with that issue of holding those who've been convicted of child molestation past their sentences. And I don't support this kind of just holding people because we don't like the crime they committed. But I do acknowledge that recidivism in pederasty is a serious problem that we haven't really figured out how to deal with. Putting that aside, I think that most of these other crimes, we have enhanced the sentences and tied the hands of judges in order to pander to certain constituencies. And it's not justice, and it's not rational. And when you can go to, jail for 200 years for possessing some images, and, you know, you didn't use a gun, you didn't kidnap somebody, you didn't kill somebody, no lives were lost, no children were molested, well, that is irrational, and it's way out of whack. And I want the punishment to fit the crime. That's my bottom line.
Well, I'm with you on that, Peter.
All right. Thank you for the call. Nice to talk to you, Scott. And next we've got Cindy in the arena.
Hey, Peter B.
Hello, Cindy.
Not only is it irrational, it's cruel and unusual. It's worse than the Taliban.
Well, I think you're right.
A drunken person at the computer might do anything.
Well, and there's so much on our computers now. We get all this spam of, I get 15 spams a day about different types of pornography, and I don't click on them. But, you know, in a weak moment, somebody might do that and say, oh, I wonder where this goes. And then an image is on your computer, and some cop or other law enforcement person, years later, could find that image there, and that is sufficient to convict somebody?
Well, speaking of convicting people, Padilla, I mean, what are they holding him for till he loses his mind completely so he's of no use to anyone?
Well, it's a travesty what they've done with this guy. And, again, if he is guilty of a crime, put him on trial, convict him, and appropriately sentence him. But to leave him in this legal limbo and to conduct interrogation... Do you know there are 87 hours... of videotapes of interrogations of Jose Padilla? I mean, that guy has been really run through a meat grinder. And again, if they had a case against him, they should have brought it. And they haven't. And the kind of machinations that they're using are unconstitutional. Say again?
They deliberately wanted to destroy his mind so he couldn't testify.
Well, I can't ascribe that motive. You could be right, but I don't know that.
I need to say this thing of Obama men, McCain, and they said the wasted deaths, the wasted lives of the young people, and then they had to retract their statements because,
right,
of course, they weren't wasted lives. They died vaingloriously for Bush's war, but you know, maybe it was just so that we could keep Padilla in prison.
That's hardly a glorious goal.
When can he face his accusers?
There's supposed to be a trial starting in April, but
is
I don't.
Going to be televised?
I don't. I doubt it, and I doubt if he'll ever face.
Nicole's decaying body.
Yeah, I don't know that he'll ever face his accusers. Thanks, Cindy.
Well, bye bye.
All right, I direct you to the second editorial in the New York Times today. There were so many reasons to be appalled by President Bush's decision to detain people illegally and subject them to mental and physical abuse. The unfolding case of Jose Padilla reminds us of one of the most important. Mistreating a prisoner makes it hard, if not possible, for a real court to judge whether he has committed real crimes. Yesterday, Judge Marsha Cook in Florida ruled against Mr. Padilla's defense lawyers, who argued that his abusive confinement was so traumatic he could not assist them in trial. They wanted to send him to a hospital for treatment. That still leaves the far bigger question of whether Padilla was tortured, as he has claimed. And for there to be a trial, Judge Cook will have to rule that Padilla was not tortured. She made a point of saying yesterday, as I had underscored, that her ruling on his competence was not a judgment on the torture claim. We will probably never know if Mr. Padilla was a would-be terrorist. So far, this trial has been a reminder of how Bush's policy on prisoners has compromised the judicial process. And it has confirmed the world's suspicions of the United States stooping to the very behavior it once stood against. Very powerful words from the New York Times. They don't always get it right, and their news columns often include a lot of propaganda from the government. But that editorial is spot on. More of your calls next in the Free Speed Zone. If you got a line, hold on. We'll get to you as fast as we can. We'll return in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
There was this man who almost learned to walk at a rehab center that almost got built by people who almost gave. Almost gave. How good is almost giving? About as good as almost walking. As generous a nation as we are, sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. Don't almost give. Give. Visit our website at don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to worship as you choose. And when you disagree with Billy Sunshine, you have the right to be wrong.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM. Tune in Sundays 3 to 5.
That makes you just want to sing right along. All right, taking a look at traffic. Let's look at a problem in Capitola, northbound 1 just after Park Avenue. We have an accident reported there. And it looks like two vehicles involved. Now, the CHP is en route and very well may be there by now. Also getting word of a SoCal situation. Northbound 1 just before Porter Street. This is a fender bender. It's off to the right-hand shoulder. Two vehicles involved in this situation. Taking a look at Highway 17. Pretty good news for folks there. No problems coming in either direction. Just a quick reminder that Mount Hamilton at Quimby roadway shut down due to snow and ice. It looks like it's going to be shut down through the weekend, so a lot of snow up in that area. And this report is brought to you by JCPenney's Extreme Sale. It's the JCPenney Extreme Sale this Friday and Saturday. Doors open early Saturday at 8 o'clock. Savings matters at JCPenney. See stores for details. I'm Mike, that's traffic on KRXA.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 10 minutes away from the hour. We're here in the free speech zone. And tomorrow will be our final broadcast for Phoenix on KPHX. I hope you'll tune in then, and we'll offer an appropriate farewell. Last hour, I was talking to Winslow Wheeler, and I told a little story about my mom, about why she started smoking. And Jane wrote in, "I couldn't believe the story you just told about your mom. I have the exact same story. I kept getting grounded for smoking, but I wasn't. Just bundled in a car in winter in Detroit with five other girls who were all smoking. So if I was going to be punished, might as well do it, right? I'm still smoking. Your mother must be a fine woman." Yeah, she's 83. She took a couple of years off from cigarettes, but then after some of her friends passed away, she said, "Well, what am I saving myself for?" And we don't criticize her for smoking, but we do make her go outside. Peter V. in Monterey, you're next. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Mr. Collins.
How you doing?
Could I take 1 minute to comment on the current financial state of affairs?
Yes, you may.
Peter, the House of Cards called the economy is going to hell in a handbasket. Peter, it's happening right now, and I've had it with a heavy-handed hijacking of our country and our currency. Worse yet, Peter, is Wall Street's hallucinating hand puppets. Peter, these hoodlums are peddling hogwash and hokum. So I'm telling all of our listeners, we're on a runaway train. And the last stop for all of us, Peter, is going to be hardscrabble Hooversville.
Wow. Peter, if you keep this up, I'm going to have to refer you to the metaphor police.
Oh.
Because, you know, that's a real mixed metaphor. A house of cards is going to hell in a handbasket. You need to work on that.
I'll sharpen the pencil, Peter. I thank you for your time and for allowing me to comment.
Your sentiments are on target. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Peter.
Leonard in Glendale, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Peter, hello. And I'm calling up, and I'm going to really miss hearing Peter V also and the people that loyally listen to you, not because of you, but because of your reasoned approach and the education I get and a lot of us are getting from the guests that you have on.
Well, Leonard, and, this is what I love to do, and I enjoy it, and I'm going to keep doing it. And, you know, we run into these bumps. You may have heard the caller earlier. He kicked off the hour from Sacramento. We were on Sacramento for a year, and they decided to put some showbiz show on in my place. And, you know, I cannot control the decisions of the affiliates that carry our program. I build a connection with the listeners. I value it highly. And as you heard, I tried to put together, you know, a message to management to help reverse the decision. It didn't work. So,
well, I feel bad because now two voices, as far as I'm concerned, have been silenced in a way for us, for a lot of us here in this area market. And I'm worried because I know Jeff will be on, but without you now, and our morning show, you know, like I said, I've got nothing against the other lady. She's very nice, but I have to turn to National Public Radio again in the mornings because they do give me local news. Now I'm going to be denied that in the morning. Today I turned it on, and, wow, I was actually hearing local news. I can't get it anymore from the morning show.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they would reconsider, okay, and put you on in the morning because I don't need to be patronized with comedy and child's jokes at this time of the day, because of the fact that, you know, you're not there anymore. So anyways, is this going to be like a podcast that you're going to have? Because I fully plan to stay as a dedicated listener to you. I learn a lot from you, just like I learned from Mr. Hartman and
mm-hmm.
other people.
Well, every day we archive the program at whiterosesociety.org, and over the next couple of months I hope to upgrade our website and make the podcasting part a little bit easier, maybe give it to you in segments. But right now what you can do is download the whole show and then just, fast forward through to the parts you want to hear.
Sarge's site, I'm not just trying to plug unreportednews.net, but he's already got two sponsored podcasts going on, and I believe this is the wave of the future. So I just I want to thank you and Matt Renner because as long as I know you're out there keeping out, speaking out, and keeping a live freedom of speech, you know, it gives me a lot of hope because it feels like the forces that be are constantly pounding us down, you know, even mm-hmm. so-called powerful elites in our own party. So
Leonard, I just want to tell you I really value the contributions you've made to this program. You're unforgettable, and I appreciate all the work you do, and I know you'll keep on, and I will too. Thanks a lot. We'll talk again soon.
I hope you get on in the morning. That's all I can say. I'm pushing for it. I need some local news here, and I want to stay in touch. I hope everybody will stay in touch through the Internet with you, Peter.
We sure will. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right. Now to Joe in Brookings, Oregon. Hi, Joe. You're on the air.
Yeah, but you're still going to be doing your show after tomorrow.
Oh, yes. Yeah, okay. The show will go on. We will just lose the station in Phoenix.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good.
So no worries in Coos Bay, no worries in Eureka, no worries in Monterey.
Mm-hmm. Very good. But, it's kind of strange about this whole situation. David Geffen commenting on the Clintons. He's mad at the Clintons because those slime, Billy Bob wouldn't pardon Leonard Peltier, and he's been sitting in federal prison for over 30 years. And the same thing going on with Mumia Abu-Jamal. And I got an update on the Mumia case that none of the, nobody in the mainstream media has commented on. That Frank Serpico, the same police officer that busted, that blew the whistle on the corrupt cops in New York City back in the 60s, he has told one of Mumia's ex-attorneys that he thinks Mumia Abu-Jamal is totally innocent, and that he got set up by the cops in Philadelphia. If anybody would know anything about crooked cops and somebody trying to cover up something, I think Frank Serpico would be it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a man's man, Frank Serpico, not these blowhard right-wingers who say, oh, we support the troops, we support the cops. You know, like a blowhard like a Bill O'Reilly, he made some smart-ass remark about, oh, these left-wing celebrities in Hollywood who support this convicted cop killer. This is what Bill O'Reilly said. He wouldn't even mention Mumia Abu-Jamal by name. I wonder if that blowhard would like to ask a real man like Frank Serpico what he thinks about the case.
Well, why don't you send the Factor Boy an email and challenge him to that. Joe, thanks a lot. I want to squeeze in one more call before we run out of time. Gary in Indiana, welcome.
Hi. Yeah, you were talking earlier about the pornography and the child pornography, and you know, my comment was, you know, we're supposed to have equal protection under the law, but if a 14-year-old goes out and commits a crime, nowadays they charge them as an adult. But if you happen to have a picture of that child, even if it's your child, and you're taking a picture where they were running around in the yard,
mm-hmm.
All right, it doesn't matter. You know, that's still considered child pornography.
There's a professional photographer, an art photographer in San Francisco named Jock Sturges, who used to specialize in juvenile photography, and he'd take kids to the beach with their parents and take pictures of them without clothes on. They were not sexual or even close-ups of the genitals. And this guy had a 3-year saga where the government stole his images and tried to convict him. It was a big mess. And we really just need to be rational about these things, and it amazes me that to fight for constitutional principles, to fight for rational enforcement of our laws and rational sentencing, somehow makes me a kiddie porn sympathizer. I don't buy it. Thanks for your call from Indiana, and catch us on peterbcollins.com in the future, will you?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Have a good night.
To you. We'll be back at you tomorrow, same time, same stations.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. What remains of the high school in Enterprise, Alabama, is the scene of frantic activity as they search for survivors and possibly more bodies. This afternoon, a powerful tornado demolished much of the campus and killed at least 15 people. Dozens are injured.
It was so scary. It just wind was flying everywhere. Debris was flying everywhere. I got hit with a door in my arm, and it was really scary.
More from Mike Gerspan of CBS television affiliate WTVY.
I got to the scene itself about 10 minutes after the tornado struck Enterprise High School around 1 o'clock this afternoon. Now, basically, when I got there, there were students being carried out, cut, broken bones, and basically walking in an aimless pattern, just in a state of shock, to say the least.
Elsewhere in the state, Yazemi Richardson at Alabama's Emergency Management Agency says at least 3 people were killed by twisters.
No firm number on the injuries, but we've had 35 people hospitalized, so that gives us an estimate there.
The northern edge of this huge storm system brought blizzard conditions to the upper Midwest. In western Minnesota, Christine Hernandez of the State Transportation Department says the plows had to give up.
We closed Interstate 90 at the junction of I-35 right by Albert Lea, westbound to the South Dakota border.
It was a whiteout. Republican John McCain made a splash last night when he announced on David Letterman's show that he is running for president. But today, as CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein reports, the senator was forced to eat one of his words.
McCain quickly corrected the remark to David Letterman that American lives are being wasted in Iraq.
What I meant, the lives have been sacrificed, but the war has been mismanaged.
I think it raises some serious questions. How is it that he can support this policy?
Democratic National Committee spokeswoman Karen Finney says McCain should have apologized.
When you're such a strong supporter of a policy that would put more lives in harm's way, how could you make such a comment that lives are being wasted?
Democratic contender Barack Obama made a similar slip last month. Obama opposes the war. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Russia and China apparently are on board with tougher sanctions on Iran. A senior U.S. official is quoted as saying the major powers made progress today on measures to increase the pressure on Iran to suspend enrichment of uranium. Their U.N. ambassadors will begin drafting a formal U.S.